Headphones too low? Yes, they are. I thought if I yelled louder, it would be louder in my headphones. What's poppin'? We're in the deals in the D.com studios for another Facebook Live. And I urge you, please share. We're on 14,000 views for yesterday. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I think so. At least, I mean, probably more than that now, but yeah.
Share it. Make me feel better. Nothing else. I want this thing to blow up.
This is pretty much the worst video ever made.
I'm hearing from people who honestly have not listened to us since the WRAF days. They didn't know how to download podcasts. They don't listen to podcasts or whatever. But for some reason, they'll watch stuff on Facebook Live. So,
well, everyone's sitting around at home watching stuff. So,
and I've got all my new friends. I friended like 4,200 people in 2 days.
Wow, how many bots?
I have no idea.
If they're really extremely hot chicks... bots.
I don't think that was a big issue. There were many attractive people. We're delighted to have them as our friends after a rigorous vetting of a couple to 3 years in many cases. So Facebook Live is brought to you by Grow Green. They're staying open. You know, they're part of the agriculture category. They're buying truckloads of soil, lights, nutrients daily to make sure you keep Michigan green during COVID-19. Your plants rely on you, and you can rely on Grow Green. Keep the doors open and the shelves fully stocked with everything you need to grow your own veggies, grow your own cannabis, or to care for your lawn garden. If Grow Green doesn't have in stock, no one does. Shop in-store, over the phone, or online at GrowGreenMI. GrowGreenMI.com, where delivery and curbside pickup are available. Is there at Mesa and Royal Oak?
Yeah.
So here we go. I thought we'd start with something completely different today. Which last night I was on Prime Video. I'm finding a lot to watch on Prime Video.
Amazon Prime, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is anybody watching the... Oh, what's the Grisham one?
That's Bezos making money off you.
The Innocent Man, John Grisham's documentary on Netflix. I'm telling you, I thought it was really good. I'm curious if people enjoyed it as much as I did or thought it was as interesting. It's not very enjoyable because it's a rough story. But I thought it was really good. And... so anyway, I'm meandering all over Amazon Prime, Netflix, Hulu, anywhere I can find anything to watch, like most people, I suppose. And I stumbled into, first of all, this doc about, it starts with a 911 call where this 13-year-old male is calling 911 to tell them that he just murdered his 4-year-old sister.
Oh, man.
I know. True crime.
I don't want to hear that.
It was just, I mean, a chilling way to start.
But how'd he do it? I'm just curious.
He stabbed her many times.
All right, that kid is cooked. He's going to be zero use.
That's why it becomes interesting. Because
put him on a cruise ship full of coronavirus and send him out to sea and then sink it.
The mother, who, you know, naturally she's dealing with the death of her 4-year-old daughter, who's adorable. Within hours of finding out that her son, who talked the babysitter into going home, by the way, so he could murder the
Well, that babysitter's complicit.
Well, the babysitter would have been stabbed, too. I think she saved her own life. Maybe. Anyway, he would have killed the kid. Don't blame him.
Yeah, if not that day, another day.
So within hours after losing her 4-year-old, she's talking to a defense attorney about her 13-year-old, her living child. And she wants to, you know... get him help, whatever. And in fact, he's found guilty of the murder. He's in psych hospitals for probably 3-4 years. And then he's in prison. And he
Good.
Is eligible for parole at the age of 33.
Oh, no.
Which I believe is
He'll
just
get out.
A couple years away.
Great. He'll get out.
And as I'm watching this, I realize that everything that comes up, because she of course, is, you know, this kid is healing, he's getting better, and he and his mom are close again, in spite of him murdering her other kid.
Oh, well, that's nice.
And
she's very forward-looking. I mean, you can't bring the kid back, so you might as well stick with the one you got, right?
And she has a new kid.
Hi, Mommy.
She has a newborn. Okay.
I don't know where the new baby came from. All of a sudden, there's this new baby, no swinging dick anywhere in sight. But
13-year-olds.
She wanted a baby. I mean, she lost her child. It's all good. Except that The 13-year-old who's now, you know, 17, 18, 19, he is really interested in the baby, and he's writing the
baby. Hi, Mommy.
He's writing this child all the time.
Hi, Mommy.
14 and 15 page letters to this 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old.
Hey, I have a 6-year-old. There's one thing they love. It's handwritten letters that are that long. Great attention spans.
Do they like talking on the phone?
Not really. Well, mine doesn't. Some do.
Well, this murderer talks to this kid on the phone all the time.
Why is she letting him?
I don't know. It's driving me crazy because it's clear to me that every topic that comes up with this murderer, he makes it about him. He's a complete sociopath. And, you know, even with the new child, it's like, oh, my God, I feel so bad that I'm not out there to be a real brother to, you know,
to murder him. To murder him.
Probably.
To murder another sibling. To which the 6-year-old responded on the phone.
What? What? I couldn't hear that last part. The connection just got really bad.
Anyway.
Okay.
And that's Paris Bennett. He's got a great name.
Brandon. Hi, buddy.
What's the name of the doc, Brandon?
I don't know the name. I've never seen it before. But Paris Bennett, he's 26 now.
How'd you find out his name without knowing the doc?
He's got an IQ of 141. He's a genius.
Yeah, he looks like it, too.
He's a genius, except he doesn't fool a lot of people who know he's a sociopath and that he should never see the light of day. But he probably will.
So there is he was on that Piers Morgan show, Psychopath with Piers Morgan.
Oh, I got to see that. That's on Netflix, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe it is.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, that girl's anyway, so cute.
I know. And this, I swear, everything, it's so obvious to me. It's always about him, no matter what they're talking about, no matter what is going on or happening. It's always about him. And he was, the grandmother acknowledges that, you know, she knew he was insanely jealous of the baby when the baby was born, the one he killed. And I keep, you keep yelling at her, get away from him. Don't talk to him. Get away. And she even reveals at one point that the psychiatrist told her that you've spent so much money on mental health for this kid, even in prison, you know, getting him extra help. Mm-hmm. And he says, spend your money on getting a new identification, a new name, a new life, and getting the fuck away! Because he's going to come and kill that other kid.
What an honest doctor.
I know. I thought it was pretty
That's
cool.
Great. That's great.
Any luck with the name, Brandon?
No, just I can't Google, find the name of
Can
your
you Google Paris Bennett documentary?
What a stupid name.
So then I moved on somehow from true crime to another weird documentary, and Mark watched it. Did you like it?
I have 5 minutes left. I found it very intriguing, but my attention span turned to the guy making the film.
Well, it was funny how those sidebars become more interesting.
Well, he's involved in it. He's not just the filmmaker. I mean, he's involved in the story, so
yeah,
I understand.
The son.
But, I mean, explain the story, because it's really fascinating.
Okay. First of all, I wanted to mention there was a sidebar that quickly came up when Mark started watching it, which is, hey, is the guy making this gay? And because it's the son. And I was like, wow, I was wondering the same thing when I was watching it last night. But then I was wondering, can we discuss this on the show?
Why not?
I mean, are you allowed to wonder if people are gay anymore?
Why not?
I have no ill will. I don't want to.
I mean, if he is, I don't care. I'm just kind of curious.
I don't want to go 69 with him. I don't care who he has sex with. I mean, it has nothing to do with
anything.
Keep
your options open.
And I'm not judging.
In prison.
I just wondered because of some things that I'm probably get in trouble if I point them out. But
let me cue some of it up so the listener out there can decide for themselves.
I, for some reason, these sidebar type things become really interesting. Like, I've noticed that all the people who are broadcasting and doing stuff from home, not us so much because we're always here.
I'm obsessed with the backgrounds.
Yeah, the backgrounds. Yeah. Absolutely. Like, you know, these people with their Emmys right behind them and guitar. I'm not sure how many people show their guitars.
I really think, too.
Carson Daly has guitars behind him.
I don't know why he's a dick.
Oh, sounds like a great one.
I really feel, though, I kind of want to take the backgrounds of everybody and do a bracket and rank who has the best background.
Because some, fun. I think it'd be fun.
Some pads I see, I'm like, hey, it's a pretty sweet pad.
I would really be interested.
Miguel Almaguer, whatever that guy's name is from NBC Nightly News, he's got a pretty sweet pad.
I'd love to hear some observations on backgrounds. I remember distinctly Mike Clark when for some reason, why was she doing this? Diane Diamond was in her living room, and she was doing a report. It was when Jackson was, you know, is he a pedophile, is he not, and he's on trial, and she was doing stories about it. And she was in her house, and I remember Clark came in, and he's like, oh, my God, Diane Diamond lives in a dump. What the hell? She's this big reporter on hard copy. And I'd seen the same thing.
It's a smart play by her.
I sort of did think that it seems like a small place. I thought Diane Diamond.
The room was totally trashed.
I thought she did really well, but, you know, she's a reporter on hard copy in Hollywood.
Jackson agrees. He didn't like the room either.
Yeah, he didn't like the room that he had to be in.
My room is a complete wreck.
Brandon, did you get the video I sent of the squirt gun fight and the water balloon fights? Jackson and Macaulay.
Super soap, because they're really high tech. They got some really great ones now.
Oh, you got it. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I love his favorite sport, too.
My favorite sport is sport. It's a water balloon fight.
Sport?
How it's do not they, a sport, Jackson.
How do they score that, Jackson?
I've never lost a water balloon fight.
Oh.
I'm the Michael Jordan of water balloon fight.
I'm sure
Jordan. Oh, he's the water balloon champion of the world? Sure, is there a belt?
I'm sure Jordan appreciates that comparison. He's walking around saying, I'm the Michael Jackson of basketball.
I'll be honest. I think Jackson practiced harder at water balloon fights than Jordan did at basketball. Just saying.
What I really love about that video with Macaulay Culkin and Kieran Culkin is it's Easter. So, you know, we got to see what he got to do, you know, in the 90s during Easter. He, of course, did Easter egg hunts. How many eggs do you think Michael Jackson would have? I don't know. How many?
Egg hunt day.
Yeah.
And we're going, how many eggs are there?
45.
How many?
45.
45?
Yeah.
We're looking for 45 eggs.
And there'll be special prizes.
Do we get prizes?
Do we get prizes?
45
what?
Minutes.
50-year-old man.
45 minutes?
Yeah, for 45 minutes. About 45 minutes.
Everything is 45 with this dude.
His favorite number. That's really funny.
Okay, it's time to share.
Oh, well, speaking of Jackson.
Hold on. I forgot to share the Facebook Live. There's 261 people on here. We had 500 at this time yesterday. Uh-oh. What the hell is going on?
I'll go share it, too.
Is the show that bad
today?
People
had yesterday off for Easter.
Oh, my God.
Man, what it's telling me is we should take more three-day weekends.
I'm throwing a watch party right now.
Oh, all right.
And it's going to... People are getting notified multiple times.
Throwing a watch.
Because of my ineptitude.
A watch party, as if that's a thing.
Hey, it is a thing. It's a watch party. Everybody's getting off. They're talking to each other, smarting off.
Watching together.
I want to watch that live number go up 266. Come on. Come on, everybody.
Let me share it, too.
261?
I want some credit for sharing it. Speaking of Jackson, by the way, and this guy, this forgetting dad guy.
Yeah. Oh, I'll just quickly say that forgetting dad is about this guy who is 45 years old, has a car accident, gets amnesia, forgets his entire life, his kids, his wife, and sort of his battle forward.
Yes.
Or is it really a battle?
Yeah.
How old is the dad?
45.
45.
What's the chance of that?
But it's funny because I feel like there's a lot of similarities between him and Jackson. Not sexually, but the whole idea of reliving his youth. Because you find out he gets his amnesia, and next thing you know, he's got a paper route that he's doing with his son.
And he's playing with the little kids. But he didn't have his childhood taken away like Jackson.
True.
He lost it.
He is reliving it.
So he doesn't know he had another childhood in his defense. Jackson's defense is completely flat. Nobody has to stay in their childhood their entire life because they missed it. No one does that.
Bob.
He was grooming all of us.
Bob Frost on Facebook wrote, "Can I forget my wife?" There was some discussion about,
well,
he just,
you know,
I think he wanted to get away from everybody.
I think he did, too. And he also, you know, he was not a good husband. He cheated on his wife. He was abusive to the kids. So, I mean, I thought it was, well, that's a pretty good solution. Just, I don't remember any of it. So you can't really hold me responsible.
Why don't you just file for divorce?
I think it
needs to be, what happened.
It needs to be pointed out, too, that nothing physical was found in his brain. No damage from the car accident that allegedly led to his amnesia. And he was fine for 2 weeks.
After, yeah. And then all of a sudden, and I think it just came to him like, oh, my God, I can get out of everything. And he got a settlement of $325,000. And this is in the 90s, so that was more money than that. And he got disability for life.
My favorite highlight.
I admired him.
They show his ex-wife reading a letter that he wrote. In the letter he wrote, "Hey, today's the first day I finished the alphabet."
No,
he just wrote a letter.
His class the day before, he had He had completed the alphabet for the first time.
But he wrote a letter. A
four-page yeah. letter. And his son goes...
That was, he didn't make that many mistakes, though. That was a doozy. But he didn't... he was pretty good otherwise.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he also said he couldn't read. But most importantly, can I'm going to play a clip of this. I hope it doesn't get us kicked off Facebook.
Oh, no.
But here's what... here's the filmmaker. Let people judge. I hear what they want to hear.
And this is, we just wondered if he's gay. It's not that it matters. Just wondered.
It's great.
341.
1 week after my college graduation, my dad got in a car accident and lost his memory.
Yeah.
For the past 16 years, Dad's amnesia has haunted my family. But we've never been able to talk about it. Until now.
I wish I'd never met him.
All this time I've been living abroad and rarely saw him.
Living abroad?
Why does he sound like Trent Bolte?
Then a few years ago, I asked Dad why his memory still hadn't returned. He replied, I'm the new Richard now.
Oh, all right.
Heavy.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Brandon, what do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
I'm all in on Bolte.
Yeah, he agreed.
He also lived in Europe for a number of years.
He lived abroad,
gay.
Yeah.
It seems kind of gay. I mean, I'm not saying it's been a bad way, but it seems like a gay person would love living here.
Sure.
It fits. And he lived in San Francisco for a while, too.
True.
Not that it doesn't mean anything, but I'm just saying, I think he might prefer men. And I think that's great. That's fine. If he's living his good life, I want him to live his best life.
He might just be asexual because he didn't talk about a spouse or boyfriend or girlfriend of any sort.
But was in 2008, so it might, maybe he couldn't come out.
And this might be just radio for you.
I'm rooting for him to be gay now. I hope he's out. I hope he's happy.
I think Dad separated at birth with Dennis Leary. Do you think he looked like him a little bit?
Yeah, there was a resemblance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is 3 years after his accident.
Next time I saw Dad, I was really surprised he'd become a paperboy.
Yeah.
His doctors thought it would teach him responsibility. Plus, a spare change couldn't hurt. Dad and I had both delivered newspapers as kids. And it was kind of fun doing it together again as an adult.
Hey, will we get the USA Today tomorrow?
They wrote a newspaper article on him becoming a paperboy. The story's really weird. I don't believe this guy ever had amnesia. I think he's a con artist.
Yeah, I think it was a con too. And I, as it went on, I understood it. By the way, I just messaged the group that only 341 people. This sucks. I quit.
Yeah.
How can we have less people than yesterday? What? Why?
I don't know. Brandon said because of Easter.
I don't like having ratings every minute. It's too hard.
I don't know. You seem to be obsessed with them.
Well, I like numbers. I do. I love knowing that.
Only when they're good.
A lot of people are. Well, I know that's.
You like good numbers.
I think that it's insane to have numbers all the time. It's just. I mean, I'm like, what those people. Look at what. Imagine teenage girls if they were doing a podcast right now and their watch party was lower.
Well, someone, I think, said the other day, what is this, the morning toast? Because you're
good luck with the podcast.
Obsessed with your.
Well, the morning toast, they're not numbers obsessed like I am. Are they?
Morning, millennials.
I'm sure they're obsessed with, you know, their likes and shares.
Oh, yeah, probably. Okay, so the guy, you know, Forgetting Dad is the name of it. It's on Prime Video. He, this amnesia thing, he really, I have to give him credit because he really went all out with it. He never caved in. He never, you know, said, I made it up. I mean, that never happened. He never broke character. He always maintained his amnesia.
Fake. Yeah, maintained.
From the outset.
I don't remember.
I was reading more up on The Innocent Man, and one point it said, they always maintain their innocence. And I'm like, hey, look, Drew, this time it paid off. They always were innocent. They maintained it.
Well, so as it goes on, though, you learn more about him, one of which is that in the workplace, while he may have an IQ of 141, well, no, he's not the IQ of 141. That's the Paris Bennett kid. This guy was sharp, though. He was a computer guy in the 90s, and he had a pretty big job. But he seemed to lose jobs a lot, and the family moved. Oh, everything will be better here.
You're a fucking sham.
And the last guy he worked with before the accident, and by the way, he had just lost his job then, and the company's
being fucking fake.
Company was being sued, and he was had to be in all kinds of depositions, and there was all kinds of crap going on, like some of it maybe involving him. it sounded like he's one of those people that is too much of a know-it-all.
Yeah.
Can't really take direction. You know, let's do it my way. And so I felt that he, in a weird way, he kind of figured out that as much as he thought he was so smart, almost like he's too smart, he can't succeed in the workplace. So he needed an out. That's why he liked delivering papers, because mm-hmm. no one would judge him. No one would tell him what to do. He could do everything his way.
And yet everyone judged him.
Yeah, they did. Well, for other reasons. So, and also as far as the being abusive to kids and cheating on his wife and being abusive to her, remember.
Yeah.
So he starts over as the new Richard, and he marries a much younger girl, by the way. They never showed her.
No, you know what? That was
Is she hot? Can we find out if she's hot? I think it's important to the story.
No idea. But it's funny because they mentioned that he met her and married her shortly after he got the paper route and enjoyed going to school, like little person school. I'm like,
yeah.
Weird. Does this chick have a fetish for little boys? Because he's acting like one.
Was it when his kid was in first grade or something? Wasn't he sort of studying along with him?
Yeah. And it's great. Well, you know, sometimes you got to do things with dad.
I think it's kind of cool to lower the bar for yourself.
I'm not doing that with my kids. I'm not going back to school with them.
I don't remember.
325. Can you share this fucking thing, you guys? Am I yelling at the people listening to us?
Yes, you are.
Is their fault? Okay, sorry.
Well, the other people listening, they can't do anything about Facebook from today.
Oh, fuck. I quit.
I quit over Facebook.
Bullshit. So, I thought it was good viewing. You got interested in
it was
for
good.
Some other reasons.
It
but
was good.
I don't know. I really like documentaries. I don't know why.
Yeah, I think that the father was actually kind of upset with the final product, the actual, you know, once everything was done and it was released, he didn't like the direction of it. In fact, he had this to say to Trent Pulte.
Probably real.
I'll always love you because you are my son. But I no longer like you.
Mark, did you catch the part where the two brothers, who are crying all the time, by the way, and I'm not suggesting anything about their gayness or non-gayness because they're crying, but they were kind of soft. In fact, one of them was married, I think.
Yeah.
They were so soft about it, like, oh, no, this is really dead, or is he just faking it? And they just couldn't live with it. It's like they had to know. Well, he'd moved away to Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't contact the family. He just really didn't want much to do with them. And there's so many people out there who have, you know, an absentee parent or somebody who just doesn't really live up to their job. I mean, it's very commonplace. I thought they took it, and it's hard, but I thought they took it really hard. And they wanted, for some reason, they just wanted him to admit that it was all fake, which he was never going to do. So they did go up to see him at this one point, and he doesn't want to see him right away. He's like, you know, I didn't know you were coming. And, you know, he's just that way. He's really
I don't remember.
I don't think he cares about him. So they find that his brother, who's retired, has moved to be near him.
Mm-hmm.
And in talking to the brother reveals that, I'm not allowed to talk about this. So I think he told the brother that, yeah, it's fake. I remember everything. Let's talk about some childhood stuff. And he would just like pour it all out with him.
What's in it for the brother?
And then the brother, I don't know.
Does he want in on that paper route money?
I thought the brother was kind of an asshole to reveal that he was not allowed to discuss it.
Yeah.
I'm so in love with my brother right now.
Well, to really illustrate how soft maybe the brothers are, the two sisters, I think they were stepsisters. I don't know. I was a little confused on that part. But the one sister's like, why don't you just let this go? He obviously doesn't want any part of your life. I've let it go. Leave me out of this.
No, they were so upset. What was the point? They were going to go up there. He wasn't going to admit it. And they'd come back and they'd be just as pissed. And they'd waste all that time going back and forth. They spent too much time on him. He wasn't worth their time.
Well, except for the youngest brother who was making the movie. So I think he had the movie in mind. And that's why he had to keep going. But
and the movie was good. I wonder if
it was watchable.
I always wonder if those movies make any money. Like the two I just talked about. Do you think they made money? Because they seem like great views. I would think a lot of people would watch them over time.
Well, I mean, this one's older. So, yeah, if it
maybe eventually they do.
I mean, Prime had to pay for it, Amazon Prime, to put it up there.
Yeah.
So, good for him.
Okay, so.
Who cares?
Zot dealerships are open. Yeah, car dealers can sell cars again. Zot Ford, Zot Chrysler Jeep, Zot Dodge Ram, and Zot Toyota can once again help you purchase a new and pre-loved vehicle. DealsInTheD.com is a great place to go to start your shopping right now. Working within the orders, all showrooms must remain closed, but our friends at Zot Automotive and DealsInTheD.com will be taking care of our listeners over the phone and online. And the best part is once you pick out your new wheels, Zot will deliver right to your home or essential business. All this will be done with the intense focus on keeping you and their sales and service team safe with social distancing and complete vehicle disinfecting. Plus, as we mentioned before, all Zot dealership parts, service, and body shops are open, offering full valet pickup delivery service.
He said get in the fucking truck, bitch!
In a time that not all dealerships are open, please take advantage of Zot's sales and service departments, as well as free and safe pickup and delivery from our friends at Zot Automotive and DealsInTheD.com.
Yay.
We have anything for the Hall Financial Hotline today, perchance?
Oh, maybe. There's one new one. I'm still holding on to that Pink Floyd tribute band guy because I got someone to answer at that number.
Yeah, I think the more time that goes by after something like better. That, because yeah. What happens, everybody calls at once and they don't talk to anybody. And then like a week goes by, they're off their guard.
Oh,
and all
man.
Of a sudden, boom, we're on the phone with them.
93-year-old beer lover, Olive or whatever her name is.
Yeah, she's
all over the place.
She's
though.
Still viral as hell. Yeah. What is going on with that dude that comes over at night, by the way? the dude who became a woman. Because, you know, if it's one of those things, you know, involve the bathroom or helping her go to the bathroom, well, what, so she just, I mean, she just fills a diaper all day and then this guy comes and fixes it? I mean, why just, I mean, it doesn't seem like you'd come once a day. You can't plan, well, can she go to the bathroom at the same time every night when this person comes?
Maybe that's.
Oh, God, I bet that diaper is soaking wet.
So many questions.
Maybe that's the agreement they have. Here's actual audio of her.
Let me just make it to the bathroom before I lose my bowels all over myself. Sorry.
The only news story is, do you see this guy that was arrested twice in 3 hours for entering a Wawa without a mask and making threats to the police?
Entering a what?
A Wawa. It's an East Coast gas station chain, kind of like a, I don't know, kind of like a 7-Eleven, a convenience store. But in New Jersey, I guess you have to wear a mask if you're going there. And this guy, which I'll show you his mugshot and tell me, let me block out his phone number and I'll show it to the camera. But tell me that this mugshot doesn't fit that story.
Oh, my God.
Here it is.
Wow.
Look at that guy.
Yeah, nobody tells that guy what to do.
No. So I didn't know if you wanted to call the Wawa. I could not find him.
By the way, what a nice picture that is. Look at that.
But the problem is the last time he went into the Wawa without a mask, he got the shit kicked out of him by the people at Wawa.
Wow.
So I don't know.
Oh, that's a good story there.
It's a hero story.
Hall Financial would love to do a refi for you and save you a lot of money. You've got so much time. If there's any chance you can do a refi, what is the harm in calling and finding out? If you're going to call somebody, give Hall Financial a chance. We get great, great, great reviews on them. They do it quickly. It's not one of those, oh, my God, it's going to take a couple months. I'll be looking for documents. No, they average 19 days. They've done many within 10 days with our people. So you're saving money right away. There's a lot of ways you can do it. You can go to David Hall Mortgage. /DrewandMike. Is DavidHallMortgage.com/DrewandMike?
Yeah.
Is it in the copy?
Is it in the copy? It's a new copy.
No, it's not
in the copy.
It's in here.
Well, go to our website and just click on the
Pornhub.
Yeah, click on the website.
Handsome picture
the link,
of David.
And fill out the online form. They'll get back to you so fast. 248-308-5000. You can call Hall Financial. And is the old copy in here?
Mm-mm.
Man.
What do you need?
David Hall Mortgage.
.com/DrewandMike.
Lower payments, better options, more personal attention. Maybe you want to take cash out of your home. People are going to need cash, I'm afraid. Try Hall Financial. Give them a shot. They are a... we don't have the exact end copy either.
NMLS 1467435.
Thank you. They have that, but they didn't have the other part. Equal housing lender.
Yeah.
Okay. So... Moving along.
Why are you so mad?
I don't know. I knew there was new copy, but I was just immediately annoyed that it didn't have things in it that I needed.
You're angry.
I run it. I thought it was fine.
Well, I know, but the website, the...
Well, yeah, but doesn't it say to go to our website and click on the thing?
I know, but they've been trying to emphasize the /DrewandMike thing.
Yeah, but this way we both win. Two birds, one bone. You go to our website and click on it, and then there's two clicks.
All right.
It's this website that's got, like, everything. Jobs, pets, cars, ice dancing suits. I mean, you can find anything there.
Hey, let me ask you guys, because I think this question gets more interesting as time goes on, and so many people are talking about this. What is worse to you right now, the pandemic or the cure?
You mean socially distancing?
Staying at home. being stuck at home. I mean, are you more worried about your health, or are you more worried about your future, your financial future, raising your family, paying your mortgage, the cure?
I'm always worried about that.
Well, yeah, of course. Everyone is.
God, that's a tough question. I honestly still want to say I would be more worried about getting sick right now, me personally.
Okay.
That being said, I...
Well, you've got two daughters, too.
But I feel that way because I feel like we're going to be out of this sooner rather than later. And by that, I mean June-ish.
Okay.
But that's just my feeling.
Brandon?
Well, unlike Mark, I am completely stuck at home. And I haven't been leaving at all.
You sound thrilled about
it. I would like to get back to my life, to tell you the truth.
And are you concerned about the... the cure.
Well, here's the thing about the cure. We're not going to have a cure for like another year.
No, social distance.
You're missing a point. Are you more worried about the pandemic, as in I might get sick, I might make my daughter sick, my daughter might get sick, get me sick, my wife might, you know, so on and so forth. You know, Kristen's compromised a little bit. Or are you more worried about the cure for the pandemic, which is staying home, the economy cratering a bit, and really, you know, that what's going to happen when we get out of this? That's the cure. So you're more worried about your health or your financial future, your career, quote unquote?
That's tough. Probably health itself, I guess, long term. It's tough because everything right now is half-assed. You know, it's not like the entire country is doing the same things. There's different areas that are doing it their own way, different areas that are working better than others. So, I mean, if we could maybe do something that was all aligned together, maybe I'd feel better about saying the cure, but right now it has to be health.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, both parents are still living. Julie's parents are still living. Her grandmother's still living.
Well, when this topic first came up, it was an op-ed in the New York Times, for me anyway. And then
there's no wrong answer, but yeah.
No, it's a personal thing. And there's, I'm not going to yell at anybody who says either one. And there was the guy in Texas. It was some political figure who said, hey, I'm 70. I can take care of myself. I'll separate myself. I'm worried about my kids and, you know, them being able to raise their kids and the economy.
Oh, yeah, the lieutenant governor.
Yeah.
Dan Patrick.
And he got bludgeoned for saying that. I didn't really understood what he was saying.
Yeah, sure. But does he understand? Did he understand people were asymptomatic and could give it to him?
I don't know if the governor of Georgia had told him that yet. that one took a while to get around, apparently.
Yeah.
Here's why I'm worried about both. I can't really say that I feel one more than the other, although I feel that people are moving.
I liked what Cuomo said. He goes, you can't divorce the two. They go hand in hand.
I would agree. But
I don't like people dying. I don't like our hospitals being overrun.
I don't either. But
I think we can recover from. And just remember, this is the whole world. This is the whole world depression. And I think our country's going to come out of it a lot better than other countries and a lot faster. I just feel.
Well, we'll get into that. There are people now pointing out that, for example, the Detroit Field Hospital, which has 1,000 beds, has 8 patients.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
that's a good thing.
No, it is a good thing. I agree. The Novi Field Hospital was going to be 1,000 beds. They've scaled back to 250.
Great.
They are not at capacity. That's good. I'm happy about that. But the point is...
The sooner you see things like that, the sooner everything can get going again.
But I think it makes some people wonder, you know, is there too much panic? Is there too much, you know, oh my God, this is over. Well, yeah, New York? Absolutely. New York is a madhouse. It's insane. And there's some other hot spots, too. But there is that whole other, you know, world where we have 7 states that are still open.
Yeah.
And people are I think, very interested in watching Sweden. And I've read more about Sweden. They are not at full power. It's not like everyone is doing their normal job and just living it up and, you know, crowding up for birthday parties.
Mm-hmm.
Birthday parties. I don't know. I just thought of Dak Prescott, which I just get madder and madder every time I see that story. Because the quarterback of the Cowboys, he was getting shit for some pictures on social media of him with his arms around his teammates, like, hey, great workout today.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, you asshole, you're not social distancing. Then he has a birthday party. It's somebody's birthday.
Yeah.
We got to have a birthday party. Doesn't matter if there's a pandemic. Let's get 30 or 40 people over here and have a party and get the candles and you make a wish and, You know, what is this obsession with people with birthdays? Oh, my God.
I know. I saw Clive Davis have a 70th birthday party on Zoom, so all the famous people
could wish, have 70 candles?
Could wish him a happy birthday.
Yesterday was my birthday.
Did you have a social media birthday party? Today's Annie's birthday. She doesn't have any of that.
Well, it wasn't enough to have this birthday party. He had to post something on social media of the buffet. Oh, look at the buffet for the birthday. And I don't know. It's just so dumb. Anyway, that's completely beside the point, which, you know, looking at what's going on. And Brandon, you made a great point, too, that it is so half-assed. It's like, why are there planes leaving Detroit today? Why are there planes leaving New York? Why would it? I can't imagine why anyone from New York is going to any other place. There's so many people that have it in New York. There's so many people that have it that don't know they have it.
I can't either. Unless I was in New York, then I'd want to be any other place and I would get on a plane immediately.
True, too. So I guess my feeling about myself, and this is maybe the problem. I'm a very independent person.
Sure.
And I think I'm responsible enough. Being close to, you know, what they say, compromised at 60 or 65, I'm right in that zone at 60. So, you know, I feel like I can take care of myself. I can, you know, I don't have to go places. I can wear a mask. I can wear gloves. You know, I don't have to have all kinds of people. I don't have a giant social world.
Mm-hmm.
And also,
So you want to go to that Stones concert?
I do want to go to the Stones concert.
Someone was mad that you're wearing a jacket while they still have your money.
I know. Well, that's true.
Love you, Jagger.
There's a chance if enough people would share this fucking thing, Jagger would see it, and he'd feel bad as he lays down another couple $100 of my cash wherever the fuck he is. Him and Chris Illich are just on a bender. My Tiger season ticket money.
Pizza, pizza.
So, yeah, I feel like as one of the people who's in that compromised area, I feel like, look, I can take care of myself. I would be more worried about younger people. And sure. Remembering 2008, you know, when we were seeing stocks, stock market at 30,000, and there's talk about, you know, the economy says GDP's down. And, you know, there's always worry about how long can this go on? It's the longest bear market ever. I mean, the economy was in brilliant shape.
Mm-hmm.
And all I could think of was, oh, please don't be another. I just don't want another 2009 to happen.
So
that's all I want. No 2009.
And I think that's why everyone's so worried about the economy being decimated. But that was a much bigger problem here than it was in the rest of the world. And the fight coming out of it was very unaggressive and very slow. And it was the mortgage industry, the biggest part of this nation that reflects on the economy, or people paying their mortgages and having that money move around. Everything stopped here, and everything's going to start
on, your
up.
Your house sucks.
Everything's going to start up again. What was the Dow at its peak? 29,000?
Yeah. 29, close to 30.
It's at 24,000 today.
Oh, and well, no, today, believe me, I'm not in a panic. I'm not that worried about myself. I can survive this. I will survive.
You're worried about those millennials?
Yeah, I'm worried about these millennials.
I mean, this is twice now they've been screwed.
The second economic debacle in 12 years. Now, mind you, all of us have been through two as well, but these are the millennials. They've got college debt.
We've been through three.
Loans to pay.
We had the bubble in 2001, 2001, the dot-com bubble.
That we graduated into?
And the recession at the end of the 90s.
Wait, you graduated into two recessions? How'd you do that?
Because my high school graduate, boom, right into that first one, and then the second one, boom, there was the housing market when you get done with college. And
well, if you only finished high school, then why would you have to be worried after graduating high school if you're going to college? To accumulate college debt so you can bitch about the next economic
Or what you can do is not take the fact that when you got out of high school, when you got out of college, you had all these jobs handed to you pretty much. And so
handed to me
with pensions, by the way. And then you were much better prepared by some of these, recessions when, you know, you've been established in a career. You have a lot of experience because you can get those jobs back after you get laid off. Plus, you probably had some money if you were responsible saved up for that.
And everybody saves enough money, of course, for a complete economic meltdown.
Oh, that sounds like irresponsibility of the boomers if they didn't have enough saved for a recession. Things happen like this. Unfortunately for the millennials, when they happen, we were just starting out, and so we couldn't really propel ourselves into our you know, first homes that you guys were buying when you were 18, and your jobs that you were walking into Ford and getting right out of high school without even having to have any experience whatsoever.
The house that I could not buy in 1981.
And then you go to Virginia Tech, you know, for maybe what, $5,000 a year, when and right about now $5,000 is just to apply. I'm pretty sure that if you want to go to Virginia Tech today, it's going to cost you $135,000, and I don't think that the boomers really give it to you. Fuck, wait for you to get it on your own. X gon' deliver to you. Knock, knock, open. Yeah, but don't care about us, because we don't give a fuck. We'll just stand back and listen to you guys battle. Go hard, getting busy with it. But
I
got
such a good heart that I make the motherfucker. No, I just want to hear you guys complain more.
I'll just point this out. First of all, it did not cost $5,000 to go to Virginia Tech because I had baseball scholarships. It didn't cost anything. But that aside, and my dad wrote me a check for expenses, which was nice. But when I graduated, interest rates were 17%. And there was no...
For what, 6 months?
No.
Oh, a long time.
It was for a while. I mean, Jimmy Carter didn't get reelected because of, well, interest rates were a big part of it. The hostages in Iran was a big part of it. The economy was really not in good shape at all. My first house I bought 8 years after I graduated college in 1989 in Phoenix.
I'd like to attribute that to the fact that you were bouncing around the country, but go ahead.
Well, I was bouncing around. That's true. And I didn't really want to buy. And I was also putting money aside so I could make a down payment when I could buy a house. But, you know, just saying, we've been through these recessions, too. And it's not necessarily easier for a 50-year-old to survive a horrible depression or a horrible downturn than it is a 24-year-old. I'd rather be 24 because I have the rest of my life to make up for it.
Dave's accusing
me. I'd rather be 50 and have money to be prepared for it and be responsible. I'm saving right now for a possible recession when I'm 50.
Everyone does, and everyone does that so well, except for the 150 NBA players who are living paycheck to paycheck because they lost a third of their pay this year.
Oh, I know.
CJ McCollum was being interviewed by Jay Williams, and Jay Williams said, "How are you guys holding up on a financial?" And he said, "Hey, NBA players, you know, we loan money, we take care of family members, and we do this, and we don't budget very well. So I'd say there's about 150 people living paycheck to paycheck who play in the NBA, and a lot of guys are on minimum salary."
That's insulting.
I think it's,
minimum salary is worth 400 grand.
No, I think it's 893. That's what they said.
Yeah, but the government takes half of that. And
oh,
it does seem like we've come together with one thing. What percentage of citizens do you think have complied with social distancing guidelines?
What percentage of citizens?
Yes.
Have complied?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to say
stay-at-home orders and social distancing.
Is this 80, nationwide?
Nationwide.
85%?
Brandon, you want to throw one out there?
I'd say 60.
90%.
Oh, wow.
I am based on smartphone tracking and other tracking, 90%. So it's that 10% of loud people that going out. You see the boaters that got cited in Michigan?
No.
Yeah, let me find that story.
Unfortunately, 10% is a lot of people.
Sure.
You know, we're talking about not, you know, just a couple people. You know, they were talking about a conference in Boston with, I think it was 98 people or something were there.
Mm.
32 of them
Austin,
got coronavirus. From that conference, somebody had coronavirus, and a whole bunch of people got infected, and they traveled like motherfuckers, and if they're not patient zero, they're patient six or seven.
Let's not forget about the 40-year-old birthday party that girl had to have with these South Africans.
It's my birthday, and it's got zero at the end. I'm 40.
I told you, I'm very intrigued by super spreaders. I just think
it's really interesting.
It's intriguing.
That poor fucking guy in Johannesburg is like, hey, look, birthday. When I was five, it was important. I don't think I'll be able to make it. But it's my birthday. You've got to come. And so he goes to this party and gets coronavirus. And this guy is puking and shitting, diarrhea blasting all over the plane the whole way home. I mean, he's just dying when he gets off that plane.
And where's that plane today, man? How many more flights?
Gross. Who knows? It was in Johannesburg. And then he gets off the plane right to the hospital. But it's her birthday. Good God.
I think my favorite part of that is
poor
yourself.
Guy.
You do some feel-good stuff at big old 4-0, you man.
Thanks, Vince.
I think I'm going to pass on this birthday, honey. I wish you the best, but
I love yourself.
It's a long way to travel for a birthday party.
Your South African accent. It sounds like Bob Hersey's help.
Oh, Audrey?
Audrey, yeah.
How many got there, Jim? How many in the junk shop, Jim?
A little different, yeah.
Oh, we got five, Aud.
All right, that means 10.
Can they find that guy, Patient Zero?
I don't know. I'm surprised they haven't.
It was a New Rochelle.
They found the AIDS dude, that flight attendant that was so hot.
Wow, man, did he have a great time. I bet you if you asked him if he would do it all over again, he would say yes.
Oh, yeah, he had a great time, an incredible time.
I mean, he spread AIDS, but come on. It was a blast.
Yeah, I'd have it with him.
AIDS!
It sounded like so much fun. Anyway.
Really?
God, no, I'm kidding.
I think he made a documentary of his dad. Amnesia.
If you're going through a tough time because of the pandemic, because you're staying at home and you're really in a relationship that doesn't work, and it's really, really stressful, and maybe it's dawning on you that I can't live the rest of my life. It's my whole life. I'm looking forward to it. I'm stuck in this horrible, horrible relationship. Well, maybe you need to call Adam, the American Divorce Association for Men. It's at least a start. Maybe you'll feel better that you're at least thinking about an option, as unpleasant as it is. With Adam, you can get divorced without losing your house or your kids. And during the pandemic, Adam is offering a 10% discount to healthcare workers because they know the men working on the front line need to get divorced too. I feel bad saying the men, but it's, you know, the American Divorce Association for Men. So call Adam at 248-356-2326. That's 248-356. Adam!
Hey, guys matter too, whether or not the Attorney General cares.
No, you know, we don't care that 70% of the coronavirus deaths are men. Nobody cares about that. But, you know, we do have more African-American deaths than their percentage of the population. So that's a problem. Okay, so these people got arrested for...
Voting in the state. They didn't get arrested. They got, I think, five of them were ticketed, and the other ones were...
300 warnings, 323 warnings.
Yeah.
Social distancing, operating a motorized boat, or boating with people from outside an individual's household. Of the five citations issued, this, you know, it'd be really interesting to see these go to court.
I'll do you in the bottom while you're drinking sangria.
Nachos, lemon heads, my dad's boat. You won't go down because my dick can float.
We sail around the world and go port to port. Every time I come, I produce a quart.
I think they
can
will.
Can the governor really tell someone they can't be on their boat with someone from another household? I don't know.
I don't
that's
going to so.
Hold up.
I don't think it'll hold up either. But you got to find the right person who's going to fight it, too.
Oh, I think there's a few that will. Two, for failing to observe social distancing requirements, all citations were issued in Region 2, which includes the bottom half of the Lower Peninsula. A warning citation. One in five boaters they had contact with. Only when we encounter people who refuse to comply, even after being warned, we do issue citations. And that's a problem. We have so many people who think that they have a voice now, and they know better than everyone else. Most people have been understanding, if sometimes disappointed, and have complied voluntarily. Is there more to the story?
No, that's pretty much it. There is going to be a protest. You see the protest where people are going to drive around the Capitol building?
Oh, I'm not surprised. And I saw that... What's the guy on Fox News? Charlie's friend.
Tucker Carlson.
Tucker
Carlson
did a long rant on Whitmer last night. And... You know, I understand what he's saying, and I understand what people are saying. The point was, I thought he made some good points, too, and there's good arguments on both sides. I mean, that's what is disappointing to me, is that I feel like we all have a lot of common feelings, but we're so stuck on the division, you know. Yeah. I believe everything, Trump 100%, and Trump never. And, you know, we really should be much more in the middle, and it just feels like there's two countries right now. There's two camps of people.
There are.
Well, there's also the people in the middle who are like, oh, you know, it's like, why? And, you know, with all my new Facebook friends, of course, not to brag, but, you know, I'm seeing so many feeds, and I just can't believe how hard-headed some people are about, you know, they want, it's like, I want to fight, so here's what I think about yesterday's press conference. Like, oh, why would you want to do this on Facebook? And people are begging them to shut up. Please stop. Please don't bring this up again. We've seen 19 of your posts already.
It's the world's biggest echo chamber.
Did you guys see me win that conversation?
But the fact is, it's not just people on Facebook. It's people everywhere. They're so stuck. It's like, you know, I'm a partisan 100%, Trump always, or Trump never. And personally, I think, you know... there are probably more of us in the middle than you would ever think.
Well, the 80% exhausted majority.
Yeah. I wanted to...
And those are people that are worried about the economy and worried about people getting sick.
As far as the pandemic versus the cure...
They're probably all Gen Xers too, bro.
No, we don't really care.
I'm going to take a second to complain about this 326 people on Facebook. We had over 500 yesterday. Well, where the fuck did everybody go?
Righteous Rick just joined, so...
He did?
Lord only knows which way the numbers are going to go. Rick, why don't you share it on Facebook? Tough guy.
Rick? Oh,
by
the way...
Are you still mad at us, too? I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. Are you still mad at Drew?
Should we have... No, why were you mad at me? Should we do a 3-minute egg timer with Righteous Rick to see if he can lift the Facebook Live numbers?
Well, let's see.
We need to make desperate times require desperate measures.
Zeus, do a poll. You can do a poll on Facebook Live, right? You can do that. Can you do a poll and say, can you do multiple choice on there?
Yeah.
Can you go, how much time for Rick on the egg timer? Zero. What other choices do you want? 3 minutes, and we'll say 10.
Okay. 0, 3, 10, and then can unlimited. You limit it to just a couple minutes? Is that what you're saying?
Well, we'll see what happens. We'll see what the poll says, and we'll adhere to it. If that's okay, Rick. If you're even available, Rick.
Rick's available.
Well, he is watching on Facebook.
Smart guy, that Rick.
I mean, he did a 4-hour podcast with that other lady. I think he would have time, more time for us, although he's mad at Drew. He's very mad at Drew.
I don't know. I think he's just saying that. I don't believe it. I think he's over it. I think he realized the error of his ways. We have a sponsored boner line today.
I do not have a boner line completed, no.
Really? Oh, is it so much of the work that I'd piled up on you still? You still getting past that?
Hey, man, I had like 98 calls that I dumped down that I started to edit. I'm working on it. It takes time.
I mean, you have to have two in the next 2 days, though.
It was his birthday yesterday.
It was his
birthday. Can't get anything done on your birthday.
Yeah.
You're so busy counting, you know, making wishes and keeping them to yourself.
Getting mad at boomers.
Yeah.
It was my birthday, and that's how I celebrated it.
Okay.
Dumping down the audio for the bone.
Sorry.
Not to push this cure versus the pandemic completely, but is anyone surprised that there isn't more concern about going forward? And I don't mean just like if we open the country up right now or we open it up in 6 months. Sure. Any way you cut it, to me, it's like, oh boy, I see some real problems ahead. But you can look at the basic stuff like, have you seen about, we talked about the retailers yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Kohl's and Macy's. I mean, they're talking about shuttering all these fucking stores.
Yeah. But information changes has been changing every day. I mean, like you said, with the field hospitals, we want to have more than what we need, right? Isn't that the point?
No,
still going to be sick when we're reopened.
No, just leave that behind. Leave that behind. I'm just talking about, aren't people worried about like what happens going ahead? And I'll give you an example of why I'm very concerned. And it's not like I personally think I'm going to, you know, I'm just going to end up homeless and dead. I've noticed this every man for themselves thing going on already. And, you know, a pretty good example is the fact that, you know, the Tigers, I haven't heard anything from the Tigers.
No, I know. Yeah.
Pistons, by the way, have refunded people. If you have a package, Don sent me an email. He said, I bought a 10-game package. I had 4 games left. I called and said, hey, what do I do? And they said, oh, well, we offered you a refund or whatever. And he said, oh, and he took the refund. They sent him a check. Red Wings.
And boom goes the dynamite.
No offer of refund yet. StubHub. They suddenly changed the rules, so they don't have to send you any money. The airlines, look what the airlines are doing.
They're the biggest joke.
Look at Live Nation, and Live Nation's refunded 1.6 million out of 15 million seats. Then there's Hellfest. Hellfest, okay, what's Hellfest?
Yeah, what is Hellfest?
Hellfest is a bunch of bands that you probably don't want to see. It's probably real hardcore. But these are rock dogs that go to France every June for an incredible collection of bands. Are you looking up the bands?
No, I was looking up Righteous Rick's number.
Okay, go ahead. They have pandemic insurance. Hellfest.
I
want
to go to Hellfest.
Oh, right, you like Brandon? You'd like Hellfest?
Take a cruise ship there.
Check out this lineup, man: Deftones, Faith No More, System of a Down, Korn, Incubus, Volbeat, Deep Purple.
Bad.
That's not as heavy as I thought it was.
Not at all.
I'd like rock and roll, bro.
I think the name is overselling.
Yeah, I agree. I want to go to Hellfest. I want to go to Hellfest. I want to see that movie. So Hellfest has insurance, and in the insurance it covers pandemics. And even though they've postponed the event till June 2021, and they agree that that's iffy, they may not be able to have it in June of 2021, they're entitled to $175,000 by virtue of the policy. because there's a lot of, you know, interruptions going on because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
There's, you know, service fees. There's, you know, just a lot of craziness going on. Well, their insurance company has said that this type of pandemic is not covered.
Oh, bullshit. Sue them Hellfest.
Doesn't it just tell you everything, though?
About insurance companies. We're going?
And I don't know if people saw this. Trump says so many things that irritate the shit out of me in his press conferences, and I don't know why he wants to pick fights with people. But he said something on Friday that I did like. I didn't see it personally, but I had a couple of people tell me about it. Somebody sent me an email. Trump was talking about insurance companies and interruption of business and how people are having trouble getting success with, hey, my business has been interrupted. And apparently, I'm not sure what
insurance companies or the small business loans.
Well, you can have interruption of business insurance.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what you're talking about.
Talking insurance.
Okay,
yeah. As far as I know, I didn't see it firsthand, so I'm repeating what someone told me. And so Trump was talking about how, you know, you pay your fees for 20, 25 years, nothing happens, and the minute something happens, they're trying to weasel out of it.
Yeah.
Well,
he's right.
And I think that's a lot of what we see going on with people like StubHub is it's like, holy shit, every man for themselves. Fuck them. We got to cover our ass.
That's right.
Because StubHub knows that we could use our money right now. Mm-hmm. Some people have big piles of tickets they bought. And you know, it's true of many concerts. I mean, 15 million tickets, either canceled or postponed, really canceled.
Regarding insurance, who is your homeowner's automotive? Is it
I'm like Progressive with Automotive.
So Allstate, I don't know if you've seen the Allstate ads where they're like, hey,
are we still in good hands?
We're giving back because nobody's driving right now, so they have less claims for this past month and this month. They're giving back, you know, $500 million and to go online. That's what I have Allstate. So I look and, you know, it's $60 I'm getting back, which, okay, I'll take $60.
Well, and they also know that a lot of people won't even know about it or bother.
Yeah, but I thought.
But it sounds nice.
It sounds nice until you see the State Farm ad.
What's the State Farm ad say?
Giving back $2 billion. I'm like,
what?
Come on, Allstate, you owe me another $1.5. Let's go.
My insurance does not cover PMS.
I'm not going to even bother. I'm not even going to bother looking up to see how much bigger State Farm is or is not than Allstate. That's all. The only two numbers I need are $500 million and $2 billion.
Wimbledon's insurance seemed to work because they got $141 million.
Oh, yeah. Some people, I'm sure, have the power to flex their muscles. Apparently, Hellfest doesn't. But, you know, a lot of regular people, if you have to fight for something, and people know this from health insurance, if you had a family member that's had cancer or something really serious, and you go, oh, well, they got to cover this. And then they go, no, we don't cover that. And you go,
What?
And if you don't have the will to fight them tooth and nail, they will fuck you. They will. And when they're struggling to make their payroll possibly or looking at an uncertain future, these companies that love us so much normally, they start just really caring about themselves. Mm-hmm. A lot of people. And so I'm seeing a lot of this every man for themselves sort of activity. And then, you know, there's some other interesting things. Well, the college football playoff, which I was reading about today. It's suddenly.
If anybody's going to mismanage money and coming out and rolling out, it's going to be the NCAA.
Maybe we should have 16 or 18 teams and, you know, we could have a wild card game and 16. And that way we could make up for a lot of the losses.
Cool.
I'm
in.
And the labor's free.
I mean, it's their way of expanding without getting around all the other arguments. Hey, it's a pandemic. What do you want us to do? And then it'll work great.
Student athletes.
Everyone will love it. It'll work great. And then, we have to keep it. Now look at all the money. I mean, look at how that didn't affect the athletes studying.
Yeah, the student athletes. Hardy har har. This is so silly, first of all, that they would just the fact that college football or college athletic programs, after missing one Final Four, would say, oh, my God, is ridiculous. Look at all the money they're paid for TV rights, for concessions, for tickets to football games and basketball games. They should have literally stadiums full of cash because they've got nowhere to keep it. The banks are full. Because they don't pay their labor. Their labor's free. So already they're saying, oh, my God, we're going to have another more playoff teams to make up for all the money we lost. I didn't realize March Madness, this story I read said it's 3/4 of their revenue.
Oh, I believe it. I mean, that TV.
What about football?
It's a couple billion dollars. Hang on, Rick. I'm talking to him on the phone at the same time. Have any universities maybe furloughed any of the employees in the athletic department?
Oh, not that I know of.
That's right.
No, labor don't think so. Major League Baseball, by the way. The way I understand it is, if there's no baseball season, the 30 teams will share $170 million. Now, I kind of to myself, I'm going, well, why would they have to pay them if they can't play any games?
That's a strong union.
It's a players. It's a union. That's right. And they've got power. And that's what I mean is when it comes down to little people
the
like
union.
You and me and our friends, you know, we don't necessarily have the power. But even these people with the power, the Miguel Cabreras.
How does that break down for Miggy? What's his?
Well, the Tigers' payroll would be about $5.6 million for 25 players. So I guess Miguel would make about $500,000.
Which means he'll be back in court to lower his child support payments
with his mistress. Yeah, I think she can forget about all that money she's sucking in every month. That bitch serves her right. Fuck her. So. I don't know. I just see a lot of things that, and that stunning number of brick and mortar closures in retail. Oh my God! How many jobs does that affect? But I'll get a little more specific after we talk to Rick because we got to do something to get this Facebook Live number up. We were over 500 yesterday.
Numbers are plummeting, even with the thought of Rick being on.
Oh my God! I'm frightened to look. Where are we now?
Now the options were 3 minutes, 5 minutes, and 10 minutes. There were some complaints that 0 minutes wasn't an option. 10 minutes got 0%, 5 minutes got 23%.
Oh my God.
And 3 minutes got 77%. So I guess the egg timer, let me set it right now.
3 minutes?
It's going to be at 3 minutes.
Okay.
Just a timer.
And what were we going to talk to Rick about? I forgot.
I don't even remember.
I know we wanted him to help bring the number up.
He's got a bone to pick with you.
Where did we leave off with Aaron Carter?
He never finished his story. He hit the egg timer before he was able to complete it.
Well, let's just see what we can find out here. Rick, we've got 3 minutes on the egg timer. We polled the audience. They selected 3 minutes. So go ahead.
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
How you doing, man?
We're doing good. We're surviving. We're all healthy.
Good.
Okay.
So I don't know why I always got to be your guy's scapegoat. That's fucked up.
Scapegoat?
What are you talking about?
Oh, for everything. Hey, so, I'm going to talk real quick then, and then you just take your egg timer and do what you got to do with it. just kind of what you
He's
were
learning.
Saying,
He's
Drew.
He's learning, Drew.
I'm learning. Season ticket holders most definitely should be refunded, no questions asked. And I honestly believe that we can't allow bank bailouts again like they did before.
Yeah, I don't know if we're talking. Are we talking bank bailouts yet?
No, because banks have.
Yeah, but it's going to get to that point, and then they're going to start bitching and crying about it. And they're going to want to be bailed out, just like they were before.
No, because they were forced to keep a lot of cash on hand. So
yes, they were.
Yeah, okay. You can defend them, Mark. But
I'm not defending
them.
I'm telling you the facts. And the Fed has propped them up.
Let me ask Rick the question. Rick, are you more concerned about the pandemic, about your health, per se, or are you more concerned about the cure for the pandemic, which is all this staying at home and people not working and the economy slowing down and all these people with unemployment? Which one are you more concerned about?
Well, I think they need to have a resolve, and I think they need to have a cure for this, because I think that the paranoid factor of it is fucking crazy. People are paranoid. They're driving in their car with a gas mask on. Jesus Christ.
So you're more concerned about the economy or what happens when this is over than you are about
Listen, we went through the pits of hell with the 2010 when it flushed. So,
yeah, this is totally different.
You know, my house, a good example.
Totally different.
Drew, my house went from 259 to 90,000.
Jeez, why don't you cry about it?
But that,
come on, well, I'm going to cry about it.
But this time it could happen not because of bad activities by the banks and Wall Street and people like that, but by the fact that we've decided that we need to stay at home. I mean, your house could lose a lot of value right now.
Yeah, I think the government puts a lot of paranoia in people. That's my opinion.
Think of all those pants that are on people right now, Drew, that aren't being
pants.
Well,
we got to get them pants off. Hey, but what I did want to tell you, what I did want to tell you guys was I hooked up with Damon Feldman, who runs a celebrity boxing, and it looks like I'm going to be doing a celebrity boxing match.
What?
With who? Aaron Carter? You'll murder him.
Oh, God, I've tried to get Aaron. Fuck him. I'm not sure yet. It was a
Are
funny
you gonna
story.
Fight the was, bagel boss?
Hey, you actually gonna
oh,
fight
dude,
somebody?
I would kill that little worm.
Are you gonna fight
Damon,
someone?
Yeah, Damon was setting up the fight between the bagel boss and Lenny Dykstra, but then everything kind of fell out of Dykstra had to back out, and then Dustin Diamond came in, and then Bagel Boss didn't show up. So
Dustin Diamond, God, I would smear screech.
That was 3 minutes. I'm just saying.
Oh, I didn't hear the gong.
Well, you hear my timer going off.
Okay. Oh boy. Well, that was cool.
Sorry, Rick.
That was the audience vote.
Well, now we have a cliffhanger. We don't know who Monica just wrote on Facebook Live. Longest 3 minutes ever. Monica!
You know what I wanted to say about, you know, when Rick brought up his house?
He's a good guy. He's a good that, guy.
You know, again, housing values. We were talking, you know, the reason I think maybe I spend more time worrying about...
We're 1 month into this thing.
Going ahead. I know, but 1 month when
I understand.
You've got revenues of X and they're going to almost zero is huge. It's not just a little, you know, just a little nick in the economy. I was thinking about Mesa, for example. When we bought Mesa, we bought the building too, which was the only reason we did it, because we thought, hey, if the restaurant fails completely, we still have this beautiful piece of real estate in downtown Royal Oak. Now it's like an albatross. Because if we can't run Mesa in there, first of all, is our rents going to be like they used to be? I don't think so. Because we have to be thinking about, and I don't know if I'm crazy, but the talk amongst us is that we may have to lower our capacity by half.
Oh, when everybody comes back.
When we
back.
Reopen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that means, that means half our revenue's gone. That means we have less to pay towards the mortgage. That means, I mean, it means a lot of things. It means like, how the fuck are we going to make it through the winter without plunging a bunch of cash into it? Which is like, do we really want to do that? And so then it's like, well, we can always sell the building, but is the building going to, is its value going to plunge?
I
don't know. I mean,
do
you see a lot of people lining up to buy a building in Royal Oak?
If the price plunges, yeah.
Well, that's what we're afraid of. I mean, that's what I'm concerned about. So, I mean, a lot of it's personal, and I don't mean to lay all my crap. I mean, it's not like the world's going to end if Mesa gets fucked.
I think we're on good footing, and I think I know people don't like the Federal Reserve, but that's what they're there for, to literally print or transfer money.
We were on good footing. And
create money.
There's a lot of good things going on. But let me give an example, and this will be the end of me being the bearer of bad news.
Oh, you're so negative today. What a boomer.
I think it's pretty interesting.
Right, Brandon?
Yeah, speaking of boomers and Gen X real quick, I just want to state that Righteous Rick is Gen X. He is the voice of Gen X.
Yeah, he doesn't care about anything.
Yeah, he doesn't
care. Wait, let me rephrase that. He cares about everything.
So when you think about Gen X, you're thinking about Righteous Rick.
Hey, I want Rick on my side.
I had a thought today about who is going to lose from the pandemic. And there's already, I don't know if you look at these winners and losers, pandemic winners and losers. And
I think those are fun.
They're interesting. And it's like so random. It's like, wait, how those people get fucked? And of course, you know, anybody who performs live, anyone, I mean, whether it's Pearl Jam or the Rolling Stones,
stand-up comedians,
losers, losers, losers.
Or Kiss. Do you see Gene started a GoFundMe for the Kiss crew?
He did.
I think it's a GoFundMe. It's a fund to pay the Kiss crew because they can't work.
Oh, boy.
Why couldn't Gene pay the Kiss crew?
He could.
Really?
He could.
Anyway, so you've got all these people associated with live music, live venues, tickets. Then you've got the biggest loser, athletes.
Oh, yeah.
Athletes.
Yeah.
You're coming out of college to play in the NBA or the NFL, or you're a third-round pick for MLB. Is there going to be a season?
And you're losing that 1 year of earning potential, and your prime earning potential. But and I don't think anybody ever feels bad for athletes because they think
of the
rich athletes. They don't think of the ones you were just mentioning coming right out of
college. They don't think about the smaller sports.
My favorite sport is a water balloon fight.
Think of all those water balloon athletes.
You also have the Steve Trouts, and I'm not going to worry about Steve Trout. I'm sure
Mike Trout, not the old
Dizzy Trout. Yeah, I'm worried about
Dizzy Trout.
Mike Trout was going to make $40 million this year or something.
Is that
is that his new deal? And what about the guy in Philadelphia, the home run hitter in Philly?
Oh, Bryce Harper.
Bryce Harper. I mean, he's all set to make $30-some million. He's not going to make that. He might make a $500,000. He's got a lifestyle to keep up. I mean, but so anyway, you have these you know, winners and losers. Well, there really aren't many winners in the story, but except for Amazon.
Yeah, Amazon's,
you know, Bezos manned up the most powerful man in the world by the time this is over. But let's just look at the NBA, just to give you an idea of...
Everything's coming up, Bezos.
The NBA makes $8 billion a year.
Mm-hmm.
$8 billion in revenue. Now, there was concern in the NBA and concern among the players, too, about the salary cap possibly going up only, I forgot how many dollars, but they thought, oh, it's not going to go up much this year because they lost the China money because of that guy's tweet, which, I mean, when you think about how stupid that is.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, players are actually mad at a guy for a tweet because it was a $400 million tweet.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's that. But throw that
China.
Out the window. Tickets are about 25% of revenues. That's, you know, tickets for to go to the games. And then you've got your concessions and parking, which is about 9%. Can you believe concessions and parking are 9%?
Why, do you think they were higher or lower?
I thought it was lower.
Yeah.
I thought it was lower.
It's usually all about television.
And then, of course, you got all those jobs associated with it. Arena jobs, concession jobs, food True. Concessions, people that make the food, ticket takers, security, maintenance, cleaning, vendors. The biggest piece of revenue is the TV rights money, which is $2.6 billion a year. Local TV rights are about $100 million.
Wow.
I know. Still a lot of money. So these deals, by the way, are subject to acts of God, which could force networks and sponsors to opt out of these deals or demand renegotiation and significantly change their obligations.
They absolutely will. Yeah.
NBA team salary caps are based on projected revenue for the upcoming season. Salary caps could be reduced sharply. The NBA was already facing the China revenue loss, and now they're looking at losing parking money, ticket money, concession money, which
that's
is...
why it's based on a percentage of the income.
Yeah. And that's what they wanted.
Yeah.
So... I mean, look at the tumbling cards in that scenario.
Think of the cost, too, with the WNBA and all those.
Oh, you know.
And boom goes the dynamite.
They actually included the WNBA in this conversation.
And their costs?
I was yelling at this piece of paper I'm reading. I was like, how dare you include the WNBA in this? There's nothing near it.
I was yelling at my computer screen. I'm like, should I bring this up to Drew? Because it will get him mad. It could be fun, but it might get him mad, too. You know the horse tournament that they had?
Yes, that Chauncey was in?
Yes, Chauncey played Trey, I think it was Trey Young. But two players played WNBA players, including Chris Paul, lost. This is the one I watch. Chris Paul lost to some woman I've never heard of. That's not really the news story. The news story was the think piece that I read about how the horse tournament really showed the disparaging difference in wages between the NBA and the WNBA. Because look at the NBA player's house, and look at the WNBA player's house.
Oh,
did they both
Christ.
Use the same size ball?
Well, that was my first. That was my first question, because WNBA is a smaller ball, so you know by percentage they should have been.
The fuck is a smaller ball? How ridiculous!
Well, their hands are smaller.
Okay, can you handle the Manscaped?
Sure. By the way, Zooves did a poll, too, on what people are more worried about, the pandemic or the cure.
Yeah.
51-49 pandemic. So it's 50-50.
Yeah, I think that's...
I think you can be worried about both, because they both just go together.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But that fear has morphed. I think the number gets larger towards the cure as time goes on, and people go... Because you see things starting to crater a little bit, and it's scary. I mean, it is. I don't know. I guess I'm surprised people aren't more freaked out about that part. And it's.
Oh, it will get there.
People have every reason to be freaked out about their health. And, you know, you see people dying, what, 22,000 people?
I'm sure 2 weeks ago was probably, you know, what, 75-25 pandemic. And
probably.
As time goes on, it'll switch the other way.
You know, I don't think I mentioned this, and I meant to. When Tucker Carlson was talking about. Our governor, Gretchen Whitmer.
Yeah. Half Whitmer.
And her, you know, her overreach to stop people from buying paint and gardening things and flooring or whatever. And, you know, it's over the coronavirus. And he pointed out that last year in Michigan, in 2019, 2,800 people died of opioids. And nothing was shut down. Nothing was even done. Nothing was even said, really.
Okay.
Well, it's about the same. It's more deaths than coronavirus.
I know, but they're totally different types of deaths.
Yeah, no, they are different. But it's, I thought it was an interesting point.
By the way, the death reporting is really interesting because people love to report, hey, all these people that had have coronavirus are asymptomatic. We don't even know that they had it. In London, or not London, but in the UK, 6,000 more deaths this month than from year to year for the month of March.
6,000 more in the UK?
Yeah, deaths. But only 3,200 coronavirus deaths, meaning, or the thinking being that, oh, people are dying at home. From the disease and aren't getting to the hospital, and therefore they're not counted. In other words, the only deaths that are counted are ones that are in the hospital and test positive.
The Michigan
deaths. I thought it was kind of interesting.
What was 8,500 last year and 5,600 this year? What a weird number.
Yeah, but, you know, accidents are probably way down because nobody's doing anything.
Yeah, and that's March. I mean, April could be, it could be way higher. It probably will be way higher in April, I would guess. All right.
Speaking of accidents, are there guys out there that have accidents when they're trimming their balls? Because we're here to help. I was trying to do a very, very smooth segue, but there really is no way. I mean, it's a very important thing. Manscaped.com, they're our boner line sponsor. If we had one today,
these nuts!
You would hear about it. If you're listening to this podcast, you're stuck inside your home with your significant other, I want you to pay close attention. Manscaped can help you out and make the most of your time together. Ooh, something a couple can do together. Manscaped
promotes through my ball sack.
Clean hygiene when it comes to shaving your balls and pubes or any other hair you want to get off your body. Because it's quarantine time, so it's Manscaped and chill is what they want you to do. It's the only man's brand dedicated to below-the-waist grooming and hygiene. We've talked about it before. Right now they have the perfect package 3.0 essentials kit. I'm not joking. I really do like the razor. I know you have one too, Brandon.
Yes.
I might have used one on my face, too. It's just a better trimmer.
It does not nick.
No, it doesn't nick, doesn't grab.
Does not pull hair, yeah.
Yeah, plus they have all the other fun stuff that Brandon loves to get, like the crop preserver. It's the anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer, so you can put them on.
The crotch down where your nuts hang.
For a limited time, subscribers get not one, but two free gifts. The Shed Travel Bag and the patented high-performance anti-chafing Manscaped Boxer Briefs. This is the perfect package for your perfect package. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code DREW, D-R-E-W, at manscaped.com. It's one of the things you enter at the end when you're checking out. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use code DREW. Most people are loading up on toilet paper, but I'm loading up on Manscaped products. Help your relationship out during this quarantine. Your partner, your body, and your balls will thank you.
I also got sent the boxer briefs.
You did? Oh, that's
I'm wearing them now.
Are you really?
Show the camera.
They're my favorite.
Show the camera your pubes that you shaved.
I can't. They're not there.
Ugh, gross. Why is the Facebook Live stuck in an empty chair of Drew?
No idea.
It's very sad when you look at it, and he leaves and the numbers drop. No one wants to hear us.
I know it.
I don't know. I'm trying to get away from coronavirus.
I had no idea we were still on Facebook.
Yeah, Drew said he wanted to go an hour today. He's well, now we're at an hour 17, so I guess it's fine. So you had a good birthday? Usually I hang out with Brandon before the show on Zoom, and we discuss a lot of things, but nothing today. So I'm worried about you. You seem very down, concerned for your health and well-being in your quarantine.
Birthday was, whatever, birthday. It's a birthday in quarantine. You ain't going to do nothing. You ain't going to go nowhere. Kristen was nice enough to get a very fantastic meal prepared.
Doesn't she do that every night?
Pretty much, yeah. so it was like no other. It was the same.
Like some people say, it was just another day.
Madeline made me a card, so that was very nice. Yeah. She has no idea it's my birthday, though.
I know. Well, like I was saying, it's Annie's birthday today. I'm like, oh, poor girl doesn't get to have a birthday. But then again, she's two. She's not going to remember it.
No, she's not. No, you're right.
She just cares about the gifts that she's going to get.
So I'm going through yesterday's prep because I sent like, I think 50 articles and not a single one got mentioned yesterday.
Seriously? Like what? Go ahead. Go through them.
Well,
I read every single one like I always do.
You did? Because I was wondering when we fired up the financial hotline, how come all my numbers for the last couple of days have just been completely ignored?
Well, one.
Yeah, it's okay. There was the couple that's... they're now in a throuple with that sex doll, and they're banging away with that. The best thing about it, it's very visual. We'd have to kind of show a picture of them because I feel bad for that doll.
Ugh.
And then today's
Why do they need a sex doll if they're a couple? Because they acted like it saved their marriage because this guy could go bang the sex doll while the wife is just doing whatever a wife does. It's like, well, couldn't he just go beat off anyway?
Yeah.
If anything, it should ruin the
cut a hole in your bed or something. Well, and put your wiener in it.
Think of the cost of that sex doll too. I mean, that's probably gonna hurt.
And the other one was today, and I have yet to try these numbers, but so we're all getting our checks pretty soon here. People are, and a lot of people aren't. But there was one turd who got, I'm sorry, he's not a turd. He's a great dude. He got, he was expecting $1,700, and he got $8.2 million deposited into his bank account from the federal government.
I know, but it's not like he gets to keep it.
Why are people so fascinated with that story, by the way?
I don't get it.
Because, it's a clerical error. Somebody made a clerical error, and they're going to fix it. And he never had the $8 million. He may have had it in his account, pretend-wise, for a day, but it's not his money. Doesn't get to spend it. Someone made a very small mistake on one account.
It's a story about a typo.
It is. No, it is. And it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, do bank errors that go in your favor... Does anybody ever actually get to keep that stuff ever?
No, never.
No.
I think it's much more fascinating to consider what's going on in that 93-year-old's bathroom with that person that comes late at night.
You want to call her back?
Clerical error. No, I don't. I don't know. Something was weird.
Should we put Olive on the egg timer? Do you think she would get more votes for longer time than Rick?
She might.
The problem is...
What if we did the Righteous Rick minute and we forced him to edit himself to 1 minute?
Possible.
And he would learn how to valuably use his time and not distract.
Impossible.
And then we could use it, too, to threaten the audience that if you don't knock it off, we're bringing back the Righteous Rick minute.
And we'll increase it by a minute every day until people are nice.
Hey, we missed a Mr. Methane post.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't we do that?
Yeah, let me find that. That was a very important one last Friday.
Yes, it was.
And I had, we haven't discussed this, you and I. But, because I sent it to you, I said, hey, he did a new post, but why can't he talk to us from where he's at?
Let me DM Mr. Methane.
And then I wondered, because, it's his sister's house, right?
Yes, there's a Wi-Fi issue. He may not be in his sister's house anymore.
But did you notice that somebody was filming it? He wasn't filming himself.
Oh, yeah.
Which I find that funny because his anus is right on the camera. So someone, he's literally farting on someone's hand. I guess that's his art, so. Let's see, here we go.
I laughed so hard.
It's pretty funny.
What was Margaritaville? What was the first song last time? Margaritaville and... God, he had some...
Oh, hello, everybody. It's Mr. Methane here. Hey, it's no ordinary Friday. Guess what it is? It's a Good Friday.
He's putting on a shirt that says Fart Friday.
Fart Friday. Let's do it. Ripping one out for Easter.
Ripping one out for Easter. Oh.
Hey, happy Easter, everybody.
Thanks.
And don't know about you, but I'm just going to settle down to a bit of the old glory, reading about folding steam wagons. Very nice.
Reading about steam wagons.
Lovely.
And it's in a magazine.
Oh, triple compounding.
That was it. That was the whole thing.
Did anyone watch his thing where he was assembling the little steam engine?
Yeah, we watched a little bit on the show and everyone got immediately bored.
But it's so funny when he pauses to fart.
Yeah.
Because it's really, there's something dreamweavery yet intoxicating about the way he talks. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden he wakes up with a big fart. And I just thought it was fun. I enjoyed it. It was a nice way to spend
He's always fun.
15 minutes. Yeah.
Who doesn't like
this? You sound like you're from London.
Everyone loves methane.
Okay.
Do you want to end Facebook
wait,
now?
Oh, wait. Something else I want to hear really badly.
Okay, yes.
The Nick Lachey song. I haven't heard it in like a week. It's the worst. It's the worst song. Yeah. It's so, the lyrics are horrible. And he sings it like a love song. It's like he's making love to the coronavirus.
I'm with you, though. I kind of want to hear it because you've been a little negative today. I think you need some positive
thoughts. No, I love this song. I love this song.
We both know that we shouldn't be here. And this feels wrong. And baby, it's killing me. It's killing you. They're telling us we gotta stay home. We got somewhere else to be, other friends to see. But if we go outside now, we might spread the disease. So I made up my mind, I'm staying in the house. It's time to quarantine, cause staying safe is what it's all about. Yeah, it's the hardest thing we've ever had to do, it's to stay stuck in our house, just watching all this bad news. It's the hardest thing we've ever had to try, to stay 6 feet apart. When we go outside, nothing to do, no sports on TV. Wash my hands so much that they started to bleed.
Hey.
Damn this quarantine, it's the hardest thing we've ever had to do. But in the end, it's worth it. Together we will get through.
That should be a career ender. It's so dumb. It just, first of all, the treatment is insidious.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear him singing like that, and the words are so stupid.
It's dumb. Oh!
The emphasis is all goofed up.
I'd love to have a voice like that.
It works in the most insane way.
That reminds me, we have not played the other coronavirus song. You know what I'm talking about, Brandon? The one I sent to you guys? Last Friday.
This one?
No.
COVID-19.
I'm blue. That's the Kevin Copeland COVID-19 remix.
From the state of Washington to the state of Maine to Brownsville, Texas, and the tip of Florida. Today, we speak to this atmosphere. Today, burn this thing. This virus hates heat. You just burn this thing. Burn!
I was talking about the one that Randy Newman made that no one asked for. Have you heard this yet?
I did.
To say some words about social distancing, because
By the way, social distancing jokes are not funny. They're stupid.
No, knock it off. Are you watching Facebook Live?
Oh, sorry. We're down to 218 now. We've clearly hit a boring peak.
Yeah.
God damn it!
Should we just bolt?
Yeah, let's get off. Right. Suck.
I was asked to do this. I wrote a song.
No one asked Randy Newman to write a song about quarantining.
If they did, they didn't mean it.
Sweatpants, that's who you are. And when this mess is over, I'll buy you a car.
Also, he was a little late to the game because he's doing this on April 8th is when he published it.
The piano's too loud, isn't it?
Well, plus Randy Newman's doing it.
Slow down.
Stay away from me. Yeah, but keep your distance, please.
Doesn't really fit the Randy Newman themes.
Stay away from me.
Which are usually like coming together and being a friend.
I'm going to be with you 24 hours a day.
Here's a nice piece of shit.
A lot of people couldn't stand that, but you can.
Okay. Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Awful. How many views?
How many streams?
What do you think? I'm just going to tell you, he has 33,000 subscribers to his YouTube channel, which...
I'm going to guess it's got 80,000 streams.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, if I didn't know, I would have said it would have been, 800,000 just because it's YouTube. 132,000.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How many streams does the Nick Lachey song have?
Well, so that was on Instagram.
It sounds like a number one hit tune, all right.
Hoo-ah. Oh, he makes love to that song in such a way.
Gross.
It's so beautiful.
I think he's banged Vanessa to it.
Ugh.
There are a million there's just a million COVID-19 songs. It's crazy.
Oh,
I've not heard one that I thought was worth hearing again.
I got one for you. Coronavirus. And this one popped up on my Google speaker, So after one, Charlotte asked it to play one song, and this song popped up afterwards. I'm like, why did it choose this song? And then I realized it was a parody. Hang on. I like that Cardi B remix, though.
Hey, Cardi B's been a lot of fun the last few months. I'm becoming a fan.
So stupid.
Aruba, Jamaica, ooh,
I thought it was the real song at first.
Bermuda, Bahama, come on, pretty mama. Key Largo, Montego, baby, why don't we go? Cause we can't. We're in quarantine.
Oh, God.
Coronavirus! In our own corona home.
Who did this piece of shit?
I have no idea who this guy is. 1.5 million views, way more than Randy Newman.
Oh, goddamn coronavirus.
Dinner's from a can.
Guess what, guys? I gotta take a fart.
It's 13 seconds since I last went to go wash my hands.
Okay, great.
I wanted to hear the hook.
Oh, you did? Okay, sorry.
The handshake us, please remove her, your mama. Wow. Time to watch my dramas. No labor, no razor, out of toilet paper.
Oh,
my
Jesus.
Corona home.
There you go, Brandon. You happy to hear the hook?
Yeah, I hear that. Wait, hold on. Oh. There we go.
So the one thing that might be good about coronavirus could be, you know, it's been the, I can almost say the decade of the dumb millionaire.
Sure.
You know, with Bad Baby, she goes on Dr. Phil and says, cash me outside.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, she's got a career. She's playing sold-out houses. People like her, especially in a down economy, Instagram, quote-unquote, models.
Mm-hmm. They're not getting their posts.
Oh, and now TikTok dancers, too.
They're not getting paid.
Because what happens is when everybody has to cut back, they stop spending dumb money.
Yeah.
And I think... I'm not sure how well those posts work for advertising anyway. Maybe, you know, maybe that was sort of a thing people were trying. I must have been working for somebody because, sure, you know, enough
like
people did it.
Doing it, yeah.
But, and then there's all those celebrities, like Tori Spelling's a great example, that for some reason now we have to fund celebrities for their entire lives. Because Tori Spelling, I'll use her as an example. She's on one dumb television show that her father gets her hired on. And then in the most criminal activity ever, he only left her $800,000 in his will because he wanted her to learn responsibility. So
he was worth what, $600 million?
Some ridiculous amount. His widow, who's her stepmother, got the bulk of it. She got $100,000, which she blew through right away. And of course, she has all these financial problems, bankruptcies, credit card problems. And so she writes books and she, you know,
countless reality shows.
Yeah, she's been on all kinds of dumb shows. None of them do anything. And then now she's like at the end of the road. There's no way for her to make money. Nobody wants her on anything. So she offers these $95, what are they, virtual phone calls or FaceTimes?
Meet and greets.
Meet and greets, yeah. Which is just, to call it a meet and greet is a joke. It's, you're basically trying to shake every last dollar out of your fans. Shut up. And there are a lot of other people who... I was just talking about Mark had to go upstairs. The celebrities who seem to feel that we have to fund them to keep them going their whole lives.
Did you hear what I yelled when you said about her dad teaching her a lesson with $800,000?
I did not.
It worked. She's so good with money now and so responsible.
Oh, yeah.
If anything, I feel like she's just trying to prove him wrong.
And I listened back to the Dean McDermott post, you know, where he yelled at everyone for dragging her because she's Tori Spelling. Because she's Tori Spelling. Yeah, because she's Tori Spelling, and she's a big weasel who seems to think that we should fund your stupid lives to pay for your brats. No. And you kept popping off about him. Why doesn't he get a fucking job? Why doesn't he get a fucking job?
I don't know.
And it reminded me, and I completely forgot when we were listening to it, and I wanted to bring it up, that Dean McDermott had a podcast.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and he's supposed to be a comedian, and it's supposed to be about raising kids or whatever. And I listened to he must have pod faded by now. He must have.
Huh.
I'm going to find out if the show. Anyway, he's doing it under the Comedy Store banner.
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know, if you know people in that world, yeah, you can use their studio and you could probably call it a Comedy Store podcast. But he's not funny.
No. Who does he do it with? Does he do it with anybody?
I didn't know who these other guys were. I think one of them's a comedian, or maybe both of them are.
Well, it's smart move by him to have someone funny on there.
It was horrible. They had some good guests, and a couple of the guests I heard said, I thought the show was about raising kids, because they get real blue and real... It's just... But it's not funny.
Well, why does that person want to listen to a Dean McDermott podcast about raising kids?
I can't imagine why anyone...
I don't have time for this.
Would hear anything by this idiot because he married Tori Spelling. Anyway, so I followed the show briefly. It had no one listened to it. It wasn't ranked anywhere in any category. It was just horrible. It's like, why does anyone think that we owe this person something, or that we have to, because he's married to Tori Spelling, who had a rich father who put her on his TV show. Oh, I'm sorry. She showed up as someone else and auditioned as another person. They didn't know it was Tori Spelling. I forgot about that part.
All right, everybody. Happy Monday. Welcome to Daddy Issues. We got a full show today.
Production's terrible.
Here to my right.
Is this a new show?
Adam Hunter.
What's up?
Daddy.
February 25th.
Oh, fuck. Daddy, he's still doing it.
And to my left, our LGBT cutie who needs a daddy, Nick Paris.
Hi, everybody.
What's going on, fellas? Adam looks fantastic.
Adam,
I'll check the rankings.
I've had enough of that.
Oh, please, a little more. Just really? A little more. Just a little more.
Find an abandoned garage and just turn your car on.
Well, I did that already.
Oh, what's going on?
Adam, you have a nice tan.
Really?
Yeah, you do.
Didn't he ask you a question?
I did. I'm diverting it.
Is it a
I don't want to start crying.
Is it your Adderall?
I haven't taken Adderall in a month.
Really?
I've been more tired, actually. But I noticed I ran out. Like, I actually, right. I was on my wife got a
do
new
you know
job,
who these people
so
are, Mark?
No, never heard of them.
And then it was
Adam
the
Hunter and Nikki Paris.
To get a doctor to get me a prescription. It was like
the description is Dean is a famous dad of six. Adam is a new dad, and Nikki is 26 and still needs his dad.
He's a nice piece of shit.
They're like, well, we don't take insurance. We don't take insurance.
Oh, it's not on the Comedy Store banner anymore.
I'm shocked.
Breaking news with Mort Krim.
People abuse it. Just
you ready for some breaking news?
Okay, first I want to report that it's not ranked in any category. It has 117 ratings.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh, ouch. Shocked it faded.
It's almost like it didn't exist.
Here's the exciting breaking news.
Okay.
Not one, but two brand new podcasts of Here's the Deal with Joe Biden.
Oh, my God. Really?
Which I have to wonder if he was on the phone begging Barack to come on his show. Because Obama just came out and endorsed him, which, wow, what a choice Obama had. Biden or Trump.
Boy, he endorsed him, and with gusto. He's the last man standing.
I know.
He couldn't even endorse him when it was just him and Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders endorsed Joe Biden before Barack Obama did. That's what I found hilarious. So even though he endorsed him, he did not have him on as a guest. But he dropped a new one yesterday. Here's the deal with Reverend Dr. William J. Barber II. That's a mouthful.
I'm really inspired. I can't wait to hear this.
The description of it. Joins
wait,
Joe
reverend,
Biden.
Why is he have a reverend on?
For a discussion on faith and its intersection with today's most crushing issues.
Oh, give me a break. Really?
Wait, this is really funny.
Are people just flocking to this?
Then it says, episode guide 1.29. Reverend Barber joins the show. 3.21. Reverend Barber discusses poor people's campaign response. This show's a mess.
What a pile of pablum this must be. What's the other one? What's the second one?
The second one is Pulitzer Prize-winning author John Meacham joins Vice President Joe Biden for a discussion on presidential leadership and what it should look like in the times of crisis. Episode guide 3.42.
Boring.
John Meacham joins the program.
Sounds fascinating.
So which one do you want to hear?
Oh, boy.
And do you think the podcast got any better? Now, they are twice as long than the first two episodes.
They're twice as long?
Yeah, the first two episodes are about 21 minutes. This new one is 46 and 48.
Oh, my God. Its ranking has gone up. It's number 151.
Running for president. It should be up because people are dumb.
But it's the worst podcast ever.
Good luck with the podcast.
It's edited to shreds.
Do you think it got better?
Maybe. The part that was incredible to me was the Q&A where they were taking... They were, quote unquote, taking questions.
Yeah.
They were taking Nerf tosses from probably, you know, people that work on the podcast.
That were recorded.
And there were those long gaps when they finished their answer to when Joe started talking again. It was like, could you have edited that together? I mean, what, does he not know when someone's done talking?
Also,
is he not able to see people's lips?
When you have a politician interviewing another politician, the question is 4 minutes long and the answer is 8 minutes long.
And you don't, and they're not related to each other.
No, they're just
I just want to hear it. I don't know why.
Which one do you want to hear?
Me crazy. Let's hear the author sounds just like such a ridiculous reach.
Oh, please be bad again.
I'm sure it will.
So this is music's already too loud.
Hey, Biden, it's Joe. We're listening to Here's the Deal. I'm sitting here in my home in Wilmington, Delaware. And
I just want to point out, we're listening to it. You're doing it.
I know. It's mistake number one.
Boring. I'm pleased to bring you our next podcast episode. For those of you who missed the last episode, I want to take a moment to explain why I'm doing this. First of all, so we can keep...
Couldn't we just listen to the previous episode if
Jesus
that was the case?
Right.
Each other. So we can't hold rallies anymore. Whether we're not gathering in large public spaces, but I want you to know I'm with you, and we're all this together. We're going to get through it together as a country. And secondly,
the reason is
that I think this podcast could offer some helpful information.
No, it can't.
I've seen these kinds of crises before, not the exact crisis we're going through, but I've sat in the Situation Room for hundreds of hours.
And
we grapple with everything from the crisis from Ebola outbreak to the nuclear Iran deal to the auto industry to the...
How far in do you think he is so far with his introduction of the show?
A minute?
It's 55 seconds
so far.
Okay,
I'm going to predict that the first question will be completed at the... Brandon, you want to take a guess? The first question, will be completed at what point in the show?
2 minutes and 52 seconds.
Oh. I was going to say 250, I swear to God. I'll say 240.
I'm
going to
say it's going to be longer because he still has to introduce the guest.
That's true. That could take a while.
The introduction might not be done by then.
The part where the guy says, "Hello, Joe, great to be here," that doesn't count. The first question.
Yes.
Mark, what's your guess?
I'm going to say it's over 250. I'm going to say 3.5 minutes.
Okay.
Some pretty accomplished experts and people, women and men who have steered us through epidemics and pandemics, and some of whom I've worked with in the past.
Could you imagine if Joe Biden interviewed Righteous Rick?
Cancer, as we know it, the cancer moonshot. And we've wrestled with some of the most complex problems that the country
has. The egg timer would have to be 20 minutes for each question and answer.
Some advice and logic and information
on this so coronavirus crisis
are facing it as well now. So each week.
Oh, there's an edit. Did you hear that vicious edit?
Someone who can.
Who was that?
No, it's him being edited by somebody.
Wait, play that edit again.
Information on this coronavirus crisis are facing it as well now. So each week, I'm going to be joined by an expert, someone...
That's the worst edit I've ever heard!
There's not even a breath.
His inflection is just completely in another direction.
There's not even a breath between the words.
Oh, my God!
All right, here it comes.
He can't do another take on that?
No, he doesn't have time for that. The podcast was 12 hours long.
On this coronavirus crisis... are facing it as well now. So each week, I'm going to be joined by an expert, someone who can offer...
Oh, Carl, are you listening? And who are these podcasts?
Do our listeners get off on that? Because, I mean, we clearly do from doing so much editing, how bad that was.
I think a listener wouldn't tell that was weird.
Oh, I think that's so obvious.
If you haven't read his book, you ought to get his book.
Here's the introduction.
John, when my children die, they're going to know how I...
150, so
okay.
I think you guys
okay,
are
going to
win.
Okay,
everything. I underline everything I read. I mean, you're underlined throughout the book here.
But
all
can
decide.
Here comes a courtesy laugh. I just feel a courtesy laugh from the guest.
Winning historian, a journalist, author, and thinker. And John's one of the most informed people I know. And he has perspective. Historical perspective. And I turned him for perspective and advice throughout my career, and I'm turning to him now. And I thought all of you would benefit from hearing from him as well. And we're going to talk about presidential leadership.
What a huge
what
mistake
does the
this
presidential
is.
Oh my God. Leadership look like in a time of crisis? What should it look like? And then briefly turn attention away from the coronavirus and talk about something we both spend a lot of time.
2:30. And instead of talking about what you're going to talk about, why don't you just talk about it?
Thinking about the soul of the nation. Then finally, we're going to take some questions from all of you that are online.
We might have to fast forward to that.
I can't wait to the Q&A.
One of the most important things I wanted to do was John and I
just
have talked.
It's going to be harder hitting than the Gretchen Whitmer questions.
I'm also a great fan of John's. About how to...
2 minutes, 50
Everybody
seconds.
Everybody still awake?
2 minutes, 50 seconds
I've
right now.
I've never heard of this guy. He's going on and on about this guy that nobody knows.
2 minutes and 50 seconds.
How do we deal with
first question.
Holding a critical election, not just for the presidency, but for all other jobs in our country, at a time of great crisis? You know, there are some who are going to, I suspect, going to call from postponing everything from primaries.
Well, yeah.
Why is he still talking?
Because a question has to be 12 minutes long. What a mistake this is.
Oh, boring. Boring.
I want to hear the actual question, if it ever comes.
Yep. Hang on. Here we go.
You might even find a few people suggesting we change election dates. And how do we conduct elections?
That's another question.
John has written and others have pointed out, we've had elections in the midst of the Civil War, in the midst of other serious crises.
What?
In the middle of wars. And so, you know, we can't, I don't think we can sort of toss out the our democracy and our democratic process.
3.5 minutes right there.
Where's the question?
There isn't one coming.
And just to deal with the crisis, I think we have to do both because one impacts the other. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about that with
Wait,
John.
Wait, he was asking a question.
He did ask
40 seconds ago.
Show John.
MAGA.
Thanks for being here, pal.
There it is.
This doesn't count.
Honored to be here.
Well, the look.
Thanks for being brief.
You know,
it was probably edited.
The fact is that there's a lot going on. I don't know where to
there's
begin.
A lot going on in this pod. Yeah, you don't know where to begin because you're already 4 minutes in.
Leadership. So I am, and you've written a lot about it. I'm curious, and I think our listeners are too.
About no, not.
How presidents dealt with crisis in the past, and is there any formula? Can you walk us through the presidential
leadership? No, there's no formula.
That,
what are you talking about?
You found the most impressive as you've looked back in the very difficult time.
I don't know who this author is, but I would guess that Joe Biden is older than him and probably has seen more life things with crisis than this author is. So what's the point of having him on?
And the moments that also coincide with maybe elections.
This is ridiculous. Oh, there's a question.
All right, absolutely. What's the final time?
4.5 minutes.
Oh!
How much time do you think this guy's going
to
wear?
The answer, I'm going to say a minute 10.
Instantly when we have a moment of enormous crisis. And it's interesting to remember, the word crisis itself comes from Hippocrates. It means moment of decision.
Oh my God, who cares?
In the course of a disease when the patient lives or dies.
Quiet.
And so when we apply the word crisis to the life of the nation,
very relatable.
We are investing our public life
with
the same importance, the same.
Is this a competition to see who can be the most boring? It's got to be, right?
Combat troubles.
Pause for a second.
Our own lives. Public life is that important in America. Right.
This reminds me of when my friend Johnny, Triple Threat Trio Johnny, we were really stoned. We were probably 22 years old, and we were driving by the Hermitage, Andrew Jackson, Old Hickory's house Tennessee.
Yeah.
And we decided to go for a tour because we were really high.
Awesome.
And We had a competition. Who could ask the dumbest question?
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. Isn't there something about his desk?
Yeah, no, about what did he keep in the closet? And the problem was Johnny's questions were so dumb, I couldn't stop laughing. And then I was laughing in the middle of my questions.
I got to tell you, that was probably the best tour that guide gave in a long time.
It was. The people on the tour became amused as it went on.
It
was obvious that something ridiculous was going on.
I go back to the spring of the winter and spring of 1933.
Oh yeah, who doesn't?
Tragically, the unemployment figures are kind of like what they're about to be here.
Not looking too good.
Our record shows 25% of the country
going into an election. The election was in 31 into 32, wasn't it?
Hey, that part
he's
of
not
the
really answering the question.
That part of the question was 4 minutes ago.
Probably it was closer to 40%. Yeah. And again, tragically, we may be headed toward that number now.
Good luck with the apostate.
Democratic capitalism was in the dock.
This is going to be amazing because you know Biden's not paying any attention to this answer.
He doesn't even know what the question is anymore.
Power in Germany.
Neither does this guy.
The Bolshevik Revolution was the only thing we have to. And the crowd.
Where's Hunter?
There's another 15.
Did he ask for an example of crisis leadership, like going into an election?
He believed in action.
There's your courtesy line.
He believed in taking charge.
He's still answering the question at 6:50 in.
Even what he called the spirit of bold, persistent, try something. Let me just put it the same where they wore the same kind of he was the least
8:15. Still no. That's one question, one answer.
Did you fast forward?
I've been fast forwarding this whole time.
300,
and you didn't even notice.
Not really. Until then, baseball,
it probably just sounds like a regular edit in their podcast.
If one out of every three or four times.
All kidding aside, that.
Well, kidding. Don't hear the kidding. I don't hear the kidding.
Let me back up.
It does take.
I have some wackiness
if
here.
If I bat 300, I'm having a hell of a good season. And remember, baseball if you hit 300, if one out of every three or four you're times you go up,
7 out of 10 times,
you're in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Well, John, you know, it does take us to right now. There's a, I get Wait, advice what? From people, solicited and unsolicited, that I'm soliciting. But all kidding aside, that
I got to call bullshit on this because Biden gave him no reaction after his "if you hit 300, you're in the Hall of Fame," and then John Meacham gave him a great courtesy laugh there, totally undeserved.
He didn't respond to the question at all.
You don't want to level the American people too
clearly.
Should
we just fast forward to the question, Q&A?
This is going
to
be.
Let's hear Biden.
Speeding through.
Wait, what's individual.
I look around as to
wait, I want to go back. I want to hear him pronounce individual.
All men and women created by go, you know the thing.
And taking on individual members of the.
What are you talking about?
I'm not too excited about our choices for president.
Just like 2016.
I happen to think the
decide.
I feel like all I hear is Biden most of the time.
Do A, B, C, D, E. The president, and the irony, what surprised me, is the president has always, this president, well, I guess most presidents, have liked the idea that they have, the more they like it. Well, he's in a position where he has
let's hear this full question and then go to the Q&A.
Essentially wartime authority. He can go in and say, stop making cars, start making ventilators. Stop making cosmetics, start making masks. Stop
MAGA.
And it surprised me, his unwillingness to implement that power. But it seems to me that there is this sense that somehow, again, I keep getting back to this, and I may be dead wrong about it, is that
point.
There seems to be this sort of gut feeling that government can never do anything as well as the private sector can do it. So the better
the gut feeling, isn't it?
The better off we're going to be. I don't think it's just about. At least I'm not sure. Obviously,
such confidence from a presidential candidate.
Boy. Be sort of counterintuitive that he is not taking more control over dealing with the problem, other than. When he tried to make sure and initially that, okay, this isn't going to be bad. I think every president from this moment on is going to have to know a hell of a lot more about and be more respectful of, quote, science.
Huh.
Because things are getting.
What a hot take again.
Computing capacity with the.
This should have been called hot takes with Joe Biden.
Evolving. There's an awful lot that we didn't know. That we can know now, or potentially can know now. We should be at least listening.
Yep. And globalization.
That's powerful. Let's go to the Q&A.
By the way, there was no question there. That was just
an observation.
Everybody's still awake?
Confident.
It was a wearying observation.
I never did. And one of the things, I wouldn't want to see Lyndon Johnson hoving into view.
an LBJ joke.
Kidding aside, I know
LBJ jokes again.
Is that his crutch? All kidding aside,
you know,
LBJ jokes are always side splitters.
There's always
all crutch down where your nuts hang.
I was gonna say, all LBJ jokes should involve his bunghole
to the end and
very showerhead.
And so, I got a great idea. Let's sell everything we have, give it to a coyote, take us across the border, drop us in the desert. We don't speak. Won't this be fun?
Yeah,
people will come have this incredible resilience. I can.
What in the hell are you talking about?
And also, sort of.
Now we're at 44 minutes.
Where's the fucking Q&A?
There's only 4 minutes left.
Also, from the crisis you're going. You know what I find?
He previewed so much stuff, they only got to like 10% of the shit he previewed.
Political expertise or a substitute.
I'd like to know how closely he followed the opening statement.
General Eisenhower.
Maybe the opening statement after they recorded the podcast, so it could align with what he babbled about.
This week's episode.
That'd be smart.
But he didn't know Q&A.
I really do think, to take a look at it, it's been out a while.
Where's the fucking Q&A, Biden?
Look at John Meacham's The Soul of America.
Oh, he's doing the plug for the book.
Our better angels, because that's what it's always about, I think, our battle for our better angels. And right now, I think the soul of America is, we're beginning to see glimpses of it. The soul that I see, the soul that I care about, the soul that I admire. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things.
MAGA.
And when given half a chance, they never let the country down. They never let the country down.
It is.
And I don't think they will this time around.
Well, he is known for his plagiarize, yes.
Neil Kinnock.
As he used to say, I think we're going to be fine to get through this. But it's going to be hard, folks. It's going to be really hard for
the next, Biden?
6 months or more.
Wouldn't it be fun to be like, Joe Biden's shock producer?
You make it and recut that.
What the fuck, Biden?
Our next guest. And
you recut it 20 times until you say it right.
I went through 5 hours of phone calls and cut them up, and you didn't use any of them.
Keep the social distancing. We're going to get through this. We're going to get through this.
You motherfucking senile old man! You take a question! All right, can you zip to the end of the next one for the Q&A? Or, do we have to hear the 9-minute introduction to know if there's a Q&A? Of course, the Q&A depends on nothing.
Hey, folks, it's Joe. You're listening to Here's the Deal.
Yeah, we are.
I'm sitting here at my home in Wilmington, Delaware. But I'm excited to bring you our next podcast episode.
Quiet.
This Sunday's Easter, and I'm joined by Dr. Reverend William Barber. Reverend Barber is a preacher, a political activist, a writer, a professor.
Do you think there's anybody whose adrenaline is just going wild listening to this because they're so pumped?
See what happens.
Who's that dude?
When you listen two times speed.
This is the second iteration of Dr. King. He's currently a co-leader of the Poor People's Program. He preaches at Greenleaf Christian Church in Goldsboro, North Carolina. And when I think of the phrase moral leader, I think of you, Rev. He's someone who truly does the work. He speaks at a podium on Sunday on the altar. He's out in the front line directly in the marginalized communities, with marginalized communities during the week.
I'll just jump forward.
Reverend Barber. Babble Fest.
Talk about faith and as well.
Is this the same guest as last week pretending to be someone else? Because they want to do two shows at once.
I tell you, you got to the guest a lot quicker. Minute 46.
Good job, Joe.
Do some good crops. She said, if you go out,
let's jump 24 minutes up.
Clinics and all these things. All of a sudden, I think the whole ground has shifted. But I want to ask you about something else here.
Mm-hmm. Question. Here we go.
I am sometimes accused of being too hopeful. But I want to talk about hope. We're living through a completely unprecedented time.
Un-American.
I'm wondering how you rely on faith to give you hope.
Oh, my God.
That was a quick question.
To the people and communities you work with.
Dumb question.
How does that, what are the things that
is this the question or was that the question?
Give people the greatest amount of hope when you talk to them?
Yeah, we got it. Hope.
And how important is it?
Wait, that's another question.
Yeah, this is hope.
Well, I appreciate that question.
Which one?
I'm skipping.
Is if you knew
American people.
Where's the Q&A? To
the core are decent. I'm convinced they're.
To preach good news to the poor.
I got to tell you, I don't think you did Q&A on here either.
What the fuck, Biden?
Islam to Judaism, Christianity.
Old man.
Across the parking lot. Those little things. No one big thing. 1,000 little things. And they all relate to acts of kindness and decency. Reaching out. That's what gives me faith. Well, Rev, thank you very much.
Hot take.
I hope you'll do this with me again.
Rev.
And I hope once the quarantine's up, you and I can
do not do this again.
Anything from go back to Kentucky to wherever else you want to go. But I really am a fan. I think.
Oh, boy.
Are you kidding?
My mom would say you're doing God's work, but you really are.
You're a fan of too many people, then. You should be a fan.
You reach across every ethnicity, every race.
Fan is your fanatic.
And pushing out the north.
Heard it 100, recognize their worth. Well, thank you. God bless you. Holy Week. And I'm not going to get to make my three visits to three different churches today, which is our tradition. But I'm inside. I'm thinking about it. And tomorrow's Good Friday, but then comes the resurrection.
Here comes the resurrection. That's right. God
bless love you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Take care.
Look forward to seeing you. Stay healthy.
Yes, sir. Likewise.
This concludes the week's episode. I want to thank everyone.
That was a bad edit.
And a reminder to subscribe. I hope you stay tuned for an announcement on our next guest. And in the meantime,
quiet.
I'm sorry we went on so long, but Reverend Barber and I are friends.
Stay tuned for an announcement on our next guest? What is it?
Anyway,
where's the announcement?
What
did you say who it is?
He doesn't know.
Listen to the scientists. Listen to the experts.
But they added something in there.
God bless you all.
Stay tuned. Stay tuned for the announcement of our next guest, Ben McAfee! On the Joe Biden Here's the Deal podcast. I don't think he knows the name of the show, by the way. Does he ever say Here's the Deal?
No.
Ever?
No. Well, no, he does in the beginning because he's in the one he said you're listening to, and then he says we're listening to.
Oh, that's right. I would love to have the first question at the first debate so I could say, Joe, what's the name of your podcast? We spent many, many hours putting this great podcast together, and I know the people enjoyed it. We had some wonderful guests. The Joe Biden Show?
He has no idea. How many episodes do you guys think this will go until they pull the plug?
Politicians don't like admitting they're wrong, and either to their employees. So no. I think they'll push through this thing because it's like, it's the only way to reach people, Joe.
They got to fix it, right?
I don't know.
When's Biden going to do a big Zoom meeting with like 5,000 people on it?
I can't believe they haven't fixed it yet, considering how much people have piled on it online and articles have been written about how terrible the production is.
That one edit was that's the worst edit I've possibly the worst edit ever. Possibly the worst edit ever. That's the vice president running to be the most powerful man in the world. And they have an edit like that in his podcast? That's incredible. Isn't it? That's worse than Covfefe.
Honestly, I think some of his employees working for his campaign have some time on their hands right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
And that's the best they could do? I'm going to apply for that job.
All right. Luke Nowacki is busy, very busy. These are crazy, crazy times because people need to plan. In fact, now short-term planning is important. Like, how do I get through the next 6 months? I mean, hopefully you don't have to think that way, but a lot of us do. Luke Nowacki, we'd love to help you map it out at 248-663-4748. Luke Nowacki and the fine folks from Oil Alliance Associates and all the people that are in the 13th floor in Southfield. Beautiful offices, by the way.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Great views. They work on putting you together, hopefully with whatever it is that you produce, and making it last to the end, as Trudy likes to say. Making sure you don't outlive your money, having a financial plan. Maybe it's planning on the kids' college. And then when you and your spouse or your partner or whoever retire, making sure there's something left at the end. And it requires some good planning.
We're looking at money.
I don't know how many people are capable of planning this on their own, to be honest. It's very tricky.
Yeah.
So call Luke if you need help. And I do think most do. And he'd love to talk to you. And these are interesting times. If you have money on the side and you're wondering where to put it, that's what I would love to be talking to Luke Nowacki about right now. 248-663-4748, Security Investment Advisory Service, off through Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated. Member FINRA, SIPC, Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, is separately owned and other entities in our marketing. Names, product, services here referenced are independent of Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated. Oh, my bookie? Wait, oh, was I not supposed to read that? Oh, yeah. Okay, my bookie's back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. You know, you hand me that long Prince Harry.
Sure.
It's not Prince Harry. What's he? Why do they call him Prince Harry in the headline here? It's not Prince Harry.
That's a great point. He should just be Harry, what's his name, Windsor?
Yes. I'm going to read this whole story, but I do want to mention the quick factoid. In fact, the big story about Prince Harry is that he is not going to be hunting anymore because Meghan said so.
What a pussy.
I know. He sounds like he's so out of his depth living in the real world.
Yeah. Why can't he just say, you know what? This is what I like to do. I want to go hunting. No, I don't like it.
I don't want you hunting. I don't like guns. I don't like hurting animals. You will not hunt.
Okay. After all, I did a voiceover about elephants.
When is he? I know he's begging the head of Disney for voiceover work for his wife. How embarrassing is that? I mean, that's so pathetic. And it's obvious from the way he's asking that he's so nervous about doing it. He feels like such an asshole, as he should.
I got to tell you, did you see how this story got out that he's not allowed to hunt anymore because of Meghan?
No, how'd it get out?
Dr. Jane Goodall mentioned it in an interview.
Oh, Christ.
I don't know. Why is that so funny to me?
Meghan must have said it to her. Harry is not hunting anymore because I don't want him to.
Oh, you know what? The prince interviewed her for Vogue magazine last year, and then she gave an interview recently. She thought Harry is finding his move to L.A. amid the global pandemic a bit challenging. Following his move to North America from Canada, he has to give up hunting because of Meghan, who's an animal activist.
Oh,
I really hate that because it makes it sound like a hunter can't be an animal activist, too. And I think you can. I think you absolutely can be.
Well, with her, it's all just whatever is going on in her brain. It just gets spit out and everyone lives by it.
I don't like cute animals dying. Just a sidebar, you know that elephant voiceover thing? I told you how I watched it. There's like one shot in there of a pangolin, which is what the guy in China allegedly ate to start COVID.
Oh.
And Charlotte saw it, and she goes, oh, that's that thing that guy
that
ate.
That's delicious.
That's that thing that guy ate in China. Why would he do that?
She's mad.
She's mad at the guy who ate the pangolin.
It's nice that she even knows that.
Good girl.
Well, I was talking about the business of, you know, how it's our job to keep certain people going.
Yeah.
Because they're not used to working like real people. Like, Tori Spelling really should have gone to HVAC school at Northwest Tech. She should have had a second career.
She would have failed.
No one wants you acting in anything. Your father's dead. He can't produce anything. Horn. He can't call any favors.
Porn.
Oh, porn. Yeah, there's porn. That's true.
Well, her and Dean could do porn together and people would probably watch it.
I guess their stupid fans might. Did she have a show on Sirius XM? I think she had a show on Sirius, actually. Really? I think someone gave her a show on Sirius.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
How long did that last?
Not very long. She had an audition.
Are you cereal?
I think I remember hearing her saying, I didn't know what I was doing.
Oh, God. Wait.
But they liked it.
Wait a sec. I didn't know that she had a podcast with Dean. Is that true?
Well, that must have pod faded. Had to have. What's the name of it?
I'm looking. The Smush Room, Tori Spelling. Oh, they were on one episode together.
Okay.
Oh boy, would that be annoying.
Another person that we need, it's our job to keep going because she cannot possibly be asked to work or find a living, is Blac Chyna.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, she lives high in the hog because Rob Kardashian has to give her all that cash. Mm-hmm. Now, why Rob Kardashian? What are we doing to keep him going, by the way, that he can pay her $30,000 a month or whatever he pays?
Well, he sold his sock company to his mommy. Remember?
Yes, I forgot.
And now they're in control of his Instagram because he put the nude picture of her
up. Right, because he put revenge porn on his Instagram. But we wouldn't want to throw him off Instagram. He's too important.
Well, the Kardashians are.
Blac Chyna is doing FaceTime calls for $950 if you want to FaceTime with Blac Chyna.
I can't think of a worse way to spend $950.
Are there people that will do this?
So many questions, too. Like, how long is that FaceTime call? Is it like an hour or is it like 5 minutes?
It should be at least an hour for that kind of money.
What if she hangs up on you? Like, if you just want to sit there and berate her.
Oh, she takes your card before you ever get on the phone with her.
Well, isn't that a violation of the contract? I want to know what the contract is.
Why would anyone want to talk to her? I honestly, she seems so unpleasant. I mean, she's walking her child in a little stroller and somebody comes up and says how cute the kid is. Can I touch the child? I think she wanted to, I don't know what she wanted to do. Or she got too close to the kid or something. So Blac Chyna takes the stroller and tries to throw it at the lady.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good move. And then there's the hairstylist who didn't get paid. And she's walking away and she's saying, hey, I didn't get paid. You owe me money from the last one, too. And Blac Chyna is, I think she throws her shoes at the woman.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean,
she's
nuts. She's absolutely nuts.
Did she throw it or she actually hit her with the heel, didn't she? I thought.
I think that is what happened. Stories. And they end up outside and then she throws a shoe at her, which missed her, by the way. But for some reason, she's called beautiful and she's a model of some renown, or she was.
Well, this article describes her as the 31-year-old Lashed Cosmetics owner, whatever the hell that is.
Oh, okay.
And former reality
star. Well, she has a big following, so I guess.
I take back what I said about spending $950 for the FaceTime call being dumb, because you can spend $250 for her to follow you on Instagram.
What in the world do you get for your $250?
She follows you, become a follower. She follows you on Instagram.
Hey, she likes your posts.
Should we do it for the show? And how long does she follow you? What if it's like a week and then she unfollows you?
That's bullshit.
Fans
so
who are,
she's currently following how many people? Looks like she's following 3,697. So you could be the 3,698th follower.
I'm sure she'll like a lot of your posts and comment on them and stuff. She'll probably retweet you a lot.
Let's keep track of that number because we can assume that any new follower
is paying for it.
$250.
Good point.
They'll report her to the IRS. It says fans who are unable to pay the cash up front have the option of doing so with 4 interest-free installments.
Oh, my God. Stupid.
The other story, too, which I don't know how they keep popping up in the news, is Rob Kardashian alleges that Blac Chyna pointed a gun at him during an argument.
Multiple times. Yes. Yeah. Not just once.
The last time was at Kylie's house. What a mess these people are.
Oh, God.
China came up behind Rob, wrapped an iPhone charger tightly around his neck, and started to strangle him. Come on. No one has that much strength to strangle Rob Kardashian by the neck.
Well,
it's a thick neck.
She was making appearances at clubs for $15,000 in cash.
Yeah.
I'm like, who, what? People go, oh, my God, that chick with a huge ass that, you know, that beats people up and pulls guns on Rob Kardashian, and she's going to be at the club. I gotta go.
I don't get it. I don't get it, man. I love people like watching train accidents.
True,
car
I
accidents.
Guess. But she, what I read was that she stays in the VIP area, really doesn't talk to anyone, and I guess she got on the microphone once and said, hi, I'm Black China.
See, that's why buyer beware. Anything with Black China, buyer beware. She might follow you, but she might unfollow you the next day.
Tekashi is, of course, he's trying to get his thing going again.
Yeah.
And has he released any music? Do we know? He must have, right?
I don't know.
Anyway, he was, there's a guy named Tory Lanez. I don't know who Tory Lanez is, but he's somebody, you know, some young guy who's of some renown. I guess he probably has a lot of followers. I don't know if he's a musician. I don't think he is, because he started a quarantine radio show.
Oh, cool.
And I guess it's doing fairly well. And Tekashi dropped into the show.
Oh, all right.
And apparently he made, they were joking about throwing him off. And Tekashi said, you better let me play this new track or I'll snitch on you. So Tekashi thinks this whole snitching thing, which got him out of 45 extra years in prison, is funny.
Yeah. So Tory Lanez, the number one song on, this is the number one stream song of his, and it features Chris Brown. So great company this guy keeps.
Oh,
Chris
wow.
Brown and
great.
Tekashi 6ix9ine. Let me jump forward.
Great song.
That's Chris Brown. Okay, well, that was enough.
Yeah!
Meanwhile, who's the other guy we were worried about getting out? YNW?
Oh, yeah.
Malley, he was denied his prison release.
Oh, really? But he only murdered two people.
And guess what? He has tested positive for COVID-19. Not joking.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Sorry.
So much going on.
Mm.
Yeah, I you know, it amazes me. It shouldn't. But it amazes me when someone murders two people and is in jail. He's got to go to trial. And to think that you would actually say, you know what, you got to let me out because I could get COVID-19.
Yeah.
I can't imagine even saying that. But his attorneys apparently made an impassioned plea for why he has to get out. And Tekashi, you know.
Do you think they were winking at the judge the whole time?
Probably.
Just so they could get paid.
Tekashi, look at all the shit he did. Yeah. And they go, oh, he's got this terrible case of asthma that no one has ever known about because he's so embarrassed.
What a joke.
It could kill him. And so they actually let him out early.
He better die of asthma in the next 6 years. Or
no, he's
going
to be smoking blunts in his next music video. You know it.
He was supposed to face 47 years. A lot of people at the time thought he would be in prison for life. He instead, when the charges were finally made, he faced 47 years. He got that knocked down to 2 years for snitching on all those people. And then he gets out months early because of his asthma.
Mm. Yeah. And his money to pay really good lawyers. If I'm ever in trouble, I'm going to pay his lawyers.
They did a pretty good job.
Do you think of any better lawyer right now than
Tekashi
6ix9ine?
Nope. Prince Andrew and Sarah Ferguson made a rare joint appearance. His first appearance since all of the negativity about Epstein. And
it's so nice that they did it together. I'm sure there's no
pro quo.
Yeah.
he is getting blasted for this, too. Blasted beyond belief because he's carrying relief supplies to a truck or something. And everyone knows it's a photo op. And they're like, how dare you use the coronavirus to try and worm your way back into our good graces, you asshole creep.
Good. I'm glad nobody got snowed by that.
No one was snowed. And he may be indicted, apparently, because, you know, when he made all that noise about, oh, my God, I'll cooperate, I'll do anything. And then they made numerous attempts to reach him. The prosecutors did, and no response. None at all. Nothing. Zero zilch. So total bullshit.
Interesting.
And Sarah Ferguson, by the way, you know, that, there's another person that we have to support, that we're supposed to support. She gets money from Epstein. You know, Epstein and Prince Andrew share these underage girls. So, hey, you know.
A forgivable loan, yeah.
Yeah, so hey, could you help her out with some dough? Give me a few more 17-year-olds and help my ex. And she gets paid $500,000 to offer access to Prince Andrew? Access to this creep pedophile?
Somebody had he was the queen's favorite son, so.
Oh, my God. These horrible, horrible fucking people. Okay. Well, why don't we move along, and we'll be back tomorrow.
Sure.
I'm so disappointed in our Facebook Live.
Well, I thought it was pretty strong.
I never got to 500.
Well, at least you didn't have Tom Izzo flake out on you.
He'll be back, though, won't he?
Yeah, so there is a new ML Solo Detroit with ML Elric dropping tomorrow, and we did Facebook Live today because our big guest was, you know, Michigan State basketball head coach Tom Izzo cute. And the time came to call him, and I've never heard this before, calling a phone number where it says, due to phone restrictions, this phone number cannot be completed, or this phone call cannot be completed. And I'm like, due to phone restrictions? Does he have some secret phone plan that just blocks every number?
He can only make outgoing calls.
Exactly.
Clearly.
And Sean's got a pretty good relationship with him, and Sean can get a hold of him. So we're like, oh boy, he's doing something else. And Sean did get a hold of him afterwards, and he will be on next Tuesday with ML. So
that's cool. Nice.
Yeah.
Breaking news.
Oh, what?
Red Shovel Network breaking news. Ooh, we need the sounder. Yeah. And Walter's got to be part of this. This is huge. It involves two very important people.
Hey, just right here, some breaking news from the Red Shovel Network. And shit.
We have listeners in every corner of the earth, always watching what's going on. You can get away with nothing with our audience. And busted this time, it's Gary Graff, the rock and roll insider, Mr. Big Stuff, who Beth heard on the Mitch Album Show pushing the Detroit Music Awards on Sunday, which are online, by the way.
That's okay.
I know, I'm kidding.
That's okay.
But it's a little bit shameful. I know he's trying to help the awards, but there's no who in Mitch Album's audience is going to watch this online.
The only thing that would hurt me more is if he said he had a better time with Mitch. We need to get Gary on. It's been a while.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I'm surprised he hasn't gotten with me on the Music Awards.
Is he mad at us?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I miss Gary.
Well, maybe we could have him on.
Gary, I miss you.
We'll force him to come up with a list, which he hates more than
anything. I don't have time for this.
It's too busy. Wait, he's the most busy human being we know.
Yeah, and
but he can't be busy right now because there's no, oh my
god, Music Awards week though. It's music. I guarantee you, he will suggest he's busy if he's not.
Oh, that sucks, man. Now I feel bad for him because he's lost the whole summer concert season.
Oh my god, that's right. Plus the Music Awards. He puts so much into the Music Awards.
No, he does a good job, man.
No, he does. They've done a great job.
Oh, so let's get Gary on.
That sucks,
Gary.
Wait, what's from Trudy? Trudy sent me about the Free Film Festival announcing their virtual festival.
I don't have time for this.
I mean, this just blows. The Free Film Festival, which Elric and I were going to do an event.
ML was heavily involved with it. I thought they moved it to December.
They did.
Okay.
But they're releasing some of the documentaries early for viewing.
I don't have time for this.
Free screenings on freep.com.
Okay, well, that's cool. Do we know what's available or when it's...
Yeah, they listed some of them. I don't think they listed all of them, though, because I was... thinking there was something in there I wanted to see, and I didn't see it on the list. Two shorts, put their lens on healthcare. Oh, boring. Kidding. Film follows a personal statement. Follows three Brooklyn high school seniors. They try to get themselves and their entire graduating class into college. St. Louis Superman, the Oscar-nominated documentary short, profiles Bruce Franks Jr., 34-year-old battle rapper, leading Ferguson activist and state representative for St. Louis, who is known as Superman to his constituents.
That could be interesting.
Matt Damon played Carol Shelby in the Oscar-nominated film Ford versus Ferrari. You saw that.
Have you seen it yet?
No, I haven't. Everybody likes it.
I think you would really, really like it. I was surprised how much I liked it.
Here's the full story. Here's the full story of the trailblazing automotive visionary behind the Ford GT40.
Yeah, that documentary, I think, is available streaming, too.
Two arts-themed shorts comprise this program, Berserkers plus Pie and the Puss. explore chef James Rigotto's relationship with the band that inspired his Hazel Park restaurant, Mabel Gray. Oh. In Pie in the Puss, Metro Detroit native Stacey Davis explores the evolution of pieing in film from pies in the face to pie tosses to pie fights. Mm. And let's see, left hand of Rosie the Riveter and the Girl with the Rivet Gun. Through the Flak, war stories of the Tuskegee Airmen. And more.
That's it, yeah.
So
they all get released on separate days. We'll put a link on the page, but it's also on freep.com.
Who?
This is a review for Brandon. Have you rented Trolls World Tour yet for Madeline? Does she not?
No, I guess we need to catch up by watching Trolls 1.
Oh my God, she'll love Trolls.
Somebody sent me something.
My bone to pick, though, with Trolls World Tour is that the bad guy is the rock musician. They're making rock out to be bad. Not happy about that.
Really?
Yeah.
You want to hit the outro?
I care.
I have something exciting.
I don't have time for this.
Over the outro. I was looking for Rick Pastuba on Twitter for some reason. And this just popped up because someone sent this to me. It was a while ago, but they were just sending me a copy of Rick's tweet, which was, "You look gay, my man. You brag way too much and fuck your gay ass bag and your cash. When you get Bill Gates cash, let us know. When you help build schools or feed homeless people, let us know. When you help veterans, then we will look up to you. You're a bitch from Grand Rapids."
Wow. Well, that's the guy that he was very mad about, right?
That's the guy who was challenging to a fight online, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's at Floyd Mayweather?
Oh, really?
You want to fight Floyd Mayweather?
Oh, my God. I would love to see Rick fight Floyd Mayweather.
Oh, my God. The responses? Mark says, "How do you correctly and incorrectly use the pretense of your, Y-O-U-R, and your, Y-O-U, apostrophe, R-E? You seem to have some basic functions that proper grammar or possibly spell check bails you out sometimes and leaves you hanging other times."
But Floyd can't even read.
Rick responded. That's right. Rick responded with, "Lame attempt to be funny."
So is that.
And then Jason responded, "I'll fight both of you with one arm."
Rick does not handle trolls very well. I love it.
I think the Righteous Rick Minute maybe there's something. I don't know. We have to think about it.
I think it's a winner.
Anyway, everybody have a great one, and we'll see you on Facebook Live Wednesday around 4 o'clock.
Sure.
Maybe we'll move it up. I'll tweet something about it. So we'll see ya.
I don't have time for this.
This is an important message from the CDC. You have been recognized as someone who has been in direct contact with a person or persons who have COVID-19 coronavirus. You are required to remain where you are and self-quarantine for 14 days and possibly more due to your small wiener. Tiny wieners have will in more quarantine days. Wiener size like yours could triple your time. Please be advised that you have a tiny weenie.